win!
Chicago's sports conversation is now. The Beat on 720 WGN.
Spending a lot of time this weekend with Kevin Powell.
Got
to see you last night. You did a great job out at Woody's Winter Warm-Up out at Navy Pier. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell. It's The Beat here till 7. Thanks for jumping on. 720 WGN. Good to have you. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. We actually have no guests planned for today. Yet. We might throw somebody in there. I actually reached out to my guy, Paul Sullivan, who's writing something about the Hall of Fame, which will be announced later this week, and we're also efforting some L.A. people. But so much going on, Kevin Powell. What did you think last night of the Cubs convention? Did you get emotional? Because when they ran that montage last night, I'm not going to lie to you, the tears were a little bit flowing. I was in the corner.
Yes.
I was videoing, and I wasn't expecting it. And just a couple drops came out.
Yeah, I think different perspective for me. For you, I knew if Mark Carmen's here somewhere in this giant banquet hall, he's probably shivering, maybe goosebumps central, couple tears coming down. For me, it was just reliving the experience of it all.
Is that wrong? Is that pathetic?
For you?
Yes.
No.
43-year-old gentleman.
That's a little. I'll let it slide. They won the World Series. It doesn't happen every year, Carm. I don't know if you heard.
Like me more, like me less. 312-981-7200. Tears at the Cubs convention. I think it's a little weird, but I also think it's beautiful all at the same time. You were reliving moments.
Reliving moments. For selfish reasons, just being there for the whole ride and just thinking back to all of it and being around it all was incredible. It's a little bit different. It wasn't like me so much cheering on the fact that they won. I mean, sure, I was happy they won and all that, but it was reliving the experiences of covering the Cubs for the entire season, and particularly that final month.
Right. You're a professional. That's the important thing to point out here. I like to hold myself more in the...
That's fine.
Talk show host, non-journalist, fan corner, if there's such a thing. You're in there too, Kevin, but there is a professionalism to what you do that perhaps I'm not bringing to the table around the Cubs on some level. I'm willing to honor that. You're also let's name it out here. I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but you did grow up a White Sox fan.
I did. So if this was a White Sox situation, it probably would feel a lot differently. I don't know if I'd go full fanboy Mark Carmen style, but I'd probably have a little bit different reaction to it.
Right. So I was just surprised. I kind of sort of walked in there and was just expecting to sort of just be there and have my standard sort of look around the room at the Cubs convention and think everyone's a little bit odd and who are these people, and it's kind of campy and bizarre.
But you're thinking all that, but you're amongst all of them.
Yeah.
So the rest of us actually judging from a fair standpoint and looking at the fans and thinking what you just said, you're amongst them, Carm. You're one of them.
Oh, I was, and I was filming them. I got the whole phone out and started walking around. I was walking up to everybody going back-to-back, back-to-back. Who's feeling the back-to-back? Three-peat? Who's willing to go there? But so I guess there's news out of the Cubs convention too. One of them is that, and we'll start the show here, Jake Arrieta. He gets his new paper 1 year, a little 15, just north of $15 million, and
he's gone after this year.
Right, it certainly looks that way.
And just sort of the way he's talking and things like that. I mean, it's nothing real negative, but you know, one quote was the timeline is kind of coming to an end. As far as you know, leading up to free agency.
Right.
That's clearly something he's circling. He'll be 32 by the time he's a free agent. Remember how much money Max Scherzer got, though, from the Nationals, and he was 31 when he signed that deal with the Nats. So Arrieta physically looks good. You never know when a pitcher could break down, but I think he's eyeing a massive payday in 2018.
No question. Someone's going to pay Jake Arrieta, whatever
it is. Good
for
him. He's been dominant for a little short stretch here, but one of the best pitchers over the past 3 years or so.
And the Cubs are going to choose to be prudent and say, you know what, you are entering your early 30s. Now contract's going to take you to your late 30s, and we're not going to do a $30 million, whatever it's going to be, seven-year deal taking you up to the end of your career. We don't think that's a good decision. Which
the Cubs want young, controllable arms.
Well,
that's something they don't have right now, and they're sort of working on as we talk right now.
Well, and if the season goes awry, which I don't think it will, back-to-back, I believe that's going to happen, certainly they're going to be right in the mix. But if it did go awry, if let's just say for terrible argument's sake, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, two of the three get hurt, and the Cubs are an under 500 team.
Now, don't forget about the incredible amount of luck they had in the health department last season. Right. It was unprecedented.
Right. Well, and do also throw
in the starting five. But other than the Schwarber freak injury, there was pretty much nothing. Bryant and Rizzo were there every day.
But that is a significant injury. You didn't have Kyle Schwarber for the entire season.
But I'm saying that's sort of a freak injury that's not going to happen often. A guy can pull a hamstring, miss a month a lot more often than a guy having a horrible collision in the outfield. I'm just saying that was a freak thing that likely shouldn't say, but I mean, that's not going to happen very often where guys have all sorts of injuries throughout the season, oblique strains, things that linger, a quad injury, something. And that stuff's a lot more.
Well, John Lester made every start last year. Jake Arrieta made every start.
They all did except Lackey. He was the only one who had a short DL stint towards the end. And that was precautionary, mostly to make sure he was ready down the stretch.
Right. So they were fortunate health-wise.
I'll credit them, though. That's a lot. They talked about that at the convention today, Bazio and Madden, and it starts in spring training. And it started last year when even with Arrieta, that was a couple seasons ago, that was a larger workload than he had faced in his entire career. And it all starts in spring training. They limited his innings a lot in spring training and early on in the year.
And they're going to do that too this year. But the point I'm getting at, if they are under 500, if something terrible happened, then Jake Arrieta is a prime guy to be traded at the deadline.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe you would get controllable starters back. But barring that, they're going to ride out his final year, try to win another World Series with him, and then thank him for his services and everything he's done, and then he'll move along, which at some point, it starts to get painful when you lose guys like Dexter Fowler and then follow it up with Arrieta. And then at some point, you know, one of these young guys, they're not going to pay everybody. They're not going to, and this is down the line, but they're not going to pay Schwarber and Bryant and Rizzo and Russell. It's you're talking about huge, huge dough. So at some point, and Baez, and, you know, you got a long list here. So somebody, they're going to spin one of these guys for that pitching that you're talking
I've
about.
I've always felt Baez was the guy that could, and most likely of that sort of crew core they have there, could be a guy they move.
It's the least painful. I wouldn't rule out Addison Russell. Just let me say that. I know that's kind of off the beaten path, but I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like that who could be replaced by Baez wouldn't. This is all down the road. These guys are going to be here for a while. The point being, this is an all-in year, and Jake Arrieta was all in on being at the convention. However, he is not all in on going to the White House. So we're going to talk about that coming back here at 312-981-7200. Some interesting comments from Arrieta defending himself. And I just have a question for you as to what would have been a better excuse, because I think his excuses for not going.
I like that. Any good excuses out there?
Yeah.
Any excuses you've ever used to get out of something?
Yeah, we'll explain that coming on back here. Hey, The Beat is on the air. This week on Chicago's Best, get that sweet tooth ready. Paul, how's your sweet tooth? You got a good sweet tooth?
It's there. It's strong.
Brittany and Elliot are on a sugar high. It's all about sweet treats. Chicago's Best this Sunday night at 11 on WGN-TV. Arrieta is not going to the White House. We discuss it next, 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell at the Carm on Twitter at KPowell720. Am I right about that?
Strong plug by you, Carm.
You gotta have the social media love. So the Cubs are going to the White House on Monday. It'll be the last team that gets to go to the White House when current President Barack Obama is there. The next team to go will have to see the Don. We'll leave it at that. Okay. So Jake Arrieta, who had the tweet after Trump was elected, which was retweeted 27,000 plus times. It was liked 56,000 times. Time for Hollywood to pony up and head for the border. Hashtag, I'll help you pack. Hashtag, beat it. So most
I love the hashtag, I'll help you pack comment from
I don't
Jake.
Know if he quite knows what hashtag means, but that's cool. That's fine. So, not that I'm some Twitter expert here either. But so I think it's very clear when you read that tweet, it's a very pro-Donald Trump tweet, is it not? Is that? I mean, now Arrieta's comments on it were interesting.
He says, "I simply was calling out people that said they're going to leave the country if Trump was elected. It's not a pro-Trump tweet. It's not an anti-Hillary tweet. I don't care who the president is. I want whoever's president to do a good job."
See, and like that comment right there, I don't believe you. I just don't. Of course you care who the president is. Of course you have an opinion on it. Of course you have your biases. I have mine, you have yours, and that's cool. That's what makes the country great, that you can have your opinion and no one's going to throw you in jail for it and you're allowed to say it. But then to put out a tweet like that and be like, no, I don't care who's going to be in the president. No, man. Like, you stepped over the line. You can't go back now. If you were going to go back now, then you go to the White House with your teammates and take advantage of the opportunity to be at the White House. I mean, that's not something that happens every day. You don't win the World Series all the time. You might only win it once in your life. God forbid. I hope they're going to win it. I think they're going to win it again. But the point is that here's your opportunity to go to the White House, and Arrieta is not going. What are his reasons for not going? Kevin, you want to tell us the reasons why he's not going?
His mother-in-law recently had brain surgery, and his son needs to get a tooth pulled.
Yeah, a dental procedure for Cooper.
Cooper.
312-981-7200. Do you believe that Cooper actually needs a dental procedure? And do you believe that Cooper couldn't have gotten a dental procedure perhaps on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, any day after Martin Luther King Day on Monday?
I probably would have been more on board with Arrieta's excuse if he left it at mother-in-law had brain surgery. But when you're tying that in with need a tooth pulled, little Cooper needs his tooth pulled, it seems like a stretch there, Jake.
Yeah, I don't know if Coop needs to get that done on Monday. And by the way, I like Jake Arrieta, and he's been a phenomenal pitcher and the best trade they've made. But just call it, like, honestly, like, hey. And I wouldn't like that.
Well, and if he is deep down trying to make some sort of political statement, well, or just doesn't like President Obama all that much, that's your chance, Jake, to come out and say something against what President Obama has done over the past 8 years that may have bothered you, Jake. Make a political statement if that is the case. Come out and say something.
Arrieta, I won't be on that trip, he says yesterday at the convention. I would like to, but I got some other things I got to handle. And he's super mad at Keith Law, who, after the tweet that we read about, the whole border tweet, Keith Law, ESPN analyst, on Twitter, candidates and politics aside, this reads to me as an anti-Semitic comment, and Law writes, I'm not Jewish. I am Jewish. I didn't see a bit of anti-Semitism in that tweet.
Where is that coming from?
I don't know.
Hollywood?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't. And Arrieta is super mad at Keith Law. People were saying that I want people deported or that I'm an anti-Semite. Why would I not like Jewish people, first of all? That doesn't make sense. Like, Keith Law, I can't wait till I see him in person. And I have Puerto Rican blood in me, and to think I would want to deport people is just absurd. Which I believe him on all of that. Like, I don't think that was his motivation at all. But I do think that him not going to the White House is a little bit more than Cooper needs to go to the dentist. 312-981-7200. What would have been a better excuse for Jake Arrieta? Or would you have preferred that he just would have been honest? Hey, I'm excited for the new administration.
Even if you disagree with what President Obama's done over the past 8 years, you don't skip the White House visit. Come on, be there with your teammates.
Right.
How would you not want to go?
Right. If you told me that I could go to the White House.
So what if you were on the Cubs, Carm? You, Mark Carman.
Yeah, right now?
Right now.
Please,
and
let's
you
do
guys
it.
Repeat.
Yeah.
And
I'm going.
Donald Trump is in the White House.
I'm going. What's up, Don? What's up, dude? How are you? Good to see you, Mr. President.
Ties a little long still.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You're fake news. I'd walk right in there. You're my guy. I would just walk. The Don, what's up, dude? Let me check out the Lincoln Room.
Well, this is what 872 just texted. How many players would bow if it was a Trump invite?
Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't.
I think a lot more people would.
But I think
more people probably would be more outspoken about it and not make up excuses and just sort of make a political statement by it.
Right. If you're gonna bail because you want to make a big statement on it,
then come out and say it. Make the statement.
Then make the statement. Don't hide behind Cooper's tooth. I mean, come on. telling me that somebody can't help, someone can't take Cooper to the dentist. And by the way, you probably could bring Coop to the White House. I think Coop wants to go. I think that'd be a cool opportunity for Coop.
Cooper? Yeah, he's always wanted to go to the White House.
Wouldn't
Everybody
you think
knows that about Cooper.
I mean, come on, man. 312-981-7200. Do you like Jake Arrieta less? Do you think he's lying? Is it... And by the way, if you can come up with a better excuse for him, I really would like to hear what...
Yeah,
what,
do you have a go-to excuse, anybody out there? 312-981-7200. Maybe you'd go to some lame party with your girlfriend on a Saturday night, or you've been invited to some lame event you're trying to get out of, trying to get out of school, trying to get out of work. Do you have a go-to excuse that you think you could share with Jake Arrieta that would be better than Cooper needs a tooth pull?
I mean, honestly, he could have been like, listen, I have my huge yoga Pilates moment on Mondays.
The Pilates convention's always on the heels of Cubs convention. Right. He's got Pilates convention to be at.
That would have been way better. Listen, I'm going to be at the convention all weekend. I'm already deviating from my workout routine. I got to get back. I have my Pilates. I got my kale shake. And then I'm doing that weird reverse bars, whatever he did that we saw on 60 Minutes or whatever I saw there. Kelly Kroll with him on Comcast Sports. And I love Jake Arrieta on many levels. And I think he's... if the Cubs said they were signing him, I'd say, okay, do it. But I don't think that's happening. Luke, what's up? You're on 720 WGN.
You know, Dario should go and just have Obama pull his kids too. I mean, how awesome would that be, right?
That's a great point. You telling me there's nobody at the White House that could arrange for Cooper to get the old tooth pulled in some dental room?
You know, come on. Obama's got his own doctors. I'm sure, you know, make it happen. But
we should reach out to the prince.
I'll give him a call.
I just wanted to call in and
appreciate and say, it, Luke.
You know, sure.
What else?
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, Luke.
What else you got, Luke?
Oh no, I just wanted to say I think it's garbage that, you know, whatever area it is, excuses. If some major stuff has happened, then sure, you know, whatever. And I don't even care if he goes or not. But like you guys were saying, like he's hiding behind whatever excuse he's using. It just looked a little cowardice to me. And again, I just want the Cubs to be represented at the White House. So whether or not Arrieta goes, doesn't matter to me. Just don't be a coward about it. Just say you don't like Obama and you would have rather the Cubs gone on January 20th than January 7th.
Right. Cool. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
Yep. 312-981-7200.
Carm, the 708 texted in. He says, if he spoke his mind like you want him to, everybody would attack him. You would be saying he should keep his politics to himself. Me, personally, I would not be attacking him, and I wouldn't be saying that. But yes, you're right, 708, there would be a lot of people attacking him about it. I have nothing against professional athletes making political statements at all. I don't. I don't know why some people who are an accountant or a police officer, a fireman or a teacher have all these political opinions and will express it to anybody at a bar, at the kitchen table, to a stranger. But then a professional athlete comes out and everyone's like, whoa, stick to sports. So it's like, well, why don't you stick to your profession if you're not in politics as well? They have the right, just like anybody, to make political statements. And I think there's a time and a place and a certain way to do that. No doubt about it, just like it is for everybody. But I wouldn't be attacking him if he came out and said something. I think I would still criticize his decision not to, just because I think no matter who's in the White House at the time, I don't know how you skip that sort of visit to celebrate the World Series in the White House. But I don't think I would be criticizing Jake Arrieta if he came out with a political statement, depending on what was said in his political statement.
If his political statement was moronic, I'd criticize
him. Right, correct,
yes. But I also would applaud him for taking a stand, whether I disagreed with it or not. Listen, the whole stick to sports crowd.
I don't get it.
That is a nauseating crowd. Look, when you're a fan, right, and you're rooting for your team, do you sit there when it's 3rd and 5 and the Bears run the ball when you think they should have thrown it, or when Joe Maddon calls for Aroldis Chapman, do you sit there and just quote unquote like stick to being a fan, or do you actually have an opinion on it? Maybe you didn't exactly. Perhaps I'm guessing you didn't play professional baseball, yet you have an opinion on that. We don't like. No one lives in a box, man. I have an opinion on politics. I have an opinion on lots of things. I prefer, you know, when I go to the grocery store, I have an opinion on the milk that I buy. I'm not a farmer.
And cereal. Big debates on cereal.
Right.
Cereal?
I mean, it's
heated over there.
I mean, I go organic. I go 1%.
Oh, you're an organic guy?
Yeah, exactly. See, right?
See, I don't really care. Give me the 2%. It's more flavorful. I actually bought milk today at the convenience store. I don't know why. Just a little bottle of it. I don't know why. I'm not even a milk guy. I was just compelled to do it. and I went 2%, Carm.
Well, and there you go. See, there's a, I mean, we all make decisions. I didn't milk a cow, but yet, you know what? I'm going to make an executive decision right now on the milk I'm going to buy, and maybe my opinion on politics is more informed than yours, or maybe it's less informed, but I'm still, whatever. Maybe I put my opinion out there, then you can shout me down in your own way, and perhaps I'll learn something, or vice versa. 312-981-7200, pro opinion out of nowhere. Let's see here. Terry, you've been waiting the longest. What do you want to say, Terry? Welcome to 720
WGN. Hey, here's what I'd say. If they would follow the normal pattern of the teams going to visit the White House, et cetera, they wouldn't be going to see an Obama in January. Why? Because the Cubs wanted in November. Great. They're rushing to get him out there. He wants to see it. It's another photo op shoot. God bless. Do whatever you want. And, oh, yes, he was from Chicago. Okay, I get it. But why don't we just let this crap go? If Arietta doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go. The guy even said, hey, I didn't vote, but his mother-in-law had brain surgery. I don't care if his kid needs a tooth pulled or he needs a, you know, a Band-Aid somewhere. We're just making way more than we should out of this. Move on. I love your show, love everything you're doing. But if he didn't say anything and he didn't go, we'd be all over his case. If he says something, all over his case.
Terry, let me ask. Hold on, Terry. And by the way, that I appreciate what you're saying, and the topic actually did get you to call in. I don't know if you ever called before, Terry. So I think this just sparks discussion. I like having discussion with you and with others, and you do too, Kevin, don't you?
Absolutely.
Right. So Terry, if you were on the Cubs, what would you do?
If I was on the Cubs, yeah. I'd go. But if my mother-in-law had brain surgery or something, I'd be staying at home.
Terry,
my
wife was
expecting a baby. I'd stay at home.
But Terry, he just came to the Cubs convention, right?
I get it. I get all that. But he's home. He's not in another state. Okay. Look, he may honor it this way. Hey, look, Obama had every opportunity to come to the last game of the World Series. He didn't want to go to it. He had all sorts of things to go with the people.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know what prevented him. But all I can say is that it's a photo shoot. My eyes. Get him to the White House. It's another, you know, another notch.
Well, okay.
You know, I voted for the man. I absolutely voted for the man twice. I respect him. I think he's a great orator. I think he did a lot of great things for the country. But when it comes to sports and when it comes to other things, respect another man or woman's opinion and let it go.
All right. Fair enough.
The Meryl Streep thing in there. And I have called you before because I disagreed with you about the Cubs having a great win when you were with Kaz and Dan and OB. And you were wrong. There's never a great win when it's lost.
I called it a great loss, right, Terry?
I know you did. It was a great win for a great loss. And I tell you what, Mark, you're right, except for one thing. They will become lovable losers. The only way the Cubs are going to ever win is if the McCaskies sell the frickin' team like the Cubs did, like the Hawks did.
We agree on that, Terry. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. You got a great show. I'm continuing to listen.
Thanks, Terry.
So, you know,
right,
by the way, I said it was a great loss because they played Green Bay super competitive, and I thought it was a nice step forward, and then they lost. And by the way, they're picking 3 overall, so they're either going to get the best defensive player in the draft or one of the 2 quarterbacks, which is ideal, Kevin Powell.
Texter asked if any player's ever done this. The first guy that came to mind was James Harrison back in 2009, who simply said, I don't feel the need to go, actually. I don't feel like it's that big of a deal to me. He's a different breed.
There's a long list of them, including Michael Jordan. We can bring some of those back after the news, which is sponsored by American Weather Makers. 312-981-7200. Arietta to the White House, except his kid's got a tooth. It's not going. WGN 720. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carmen. It's The Beat. Thanks for jumping on with us this Saturday afternoon. 312-981-7200. Talking about Jake Arrieta not going to the White House. Some notables who didn't go, Kevin. Mm-hmm. How about Tim Thomas, Boston Bruins goalie? Mm-hmm. He was a recognized tea partier. His comment at the time is, I believe the federal government has grown out of control, threatening the rights, liberties, and property of the people. This is being done as the executive, legislative, and judicial level.
Preach, Timmy Thomas.
This is in direct opposition to the Constitution and the Founding Fathers' vision of the federal government.
All right, who else we got?
We got Tom Brady, who didn't go.
Never heard of him. Next athlete.
2015, Brady wouldn't go. Why didn't he go? He said he had a, quote, family commitment. Except then the Boston Herald had a different explanation, speculating that Brady was upset at White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, who had criticized the quarterback's PR skills in light of the Deflategate scandal. Was it? Now, see, like, I just like some honesty, man. Give me some honesty. Manny Ramirez didn't go.
So what's bothering you more is that you believe that Jake Arrieta's excuses are invalid, not as serious as he's making it out to be, and he's just leaning on that to get out of going to the White House, when you believe that he's actually against President Obama and doesn't want to go see President Obama.
Yeah, and listen, is that
what you're saying? I'm just clarifying your argument of these things.
That, and I'm pro good teammate. Like, if your team,
I don't think any of his teammates are going to be like, man, I really wish Jake was here. This means less because Jake isn't here.
But the story,
you really think they will?
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think they care. But I also think it's a little bit awkward. Like, your old team's going. Be a team guy. It's part of the deal. You're going to the White House. Take the picture, photo op, whatever. Listen, when the Bulls won in 91, Jordan didn't go to the White House in 92. They had been in, or in 92 he didn't go because they had been in the Olympics and his schedule was crazy and everybody went and Mike didn't go. Come on, Mike. Go to the White House, dude. It's a huge moment. Like, do you think the Chicago Blackhawks would be like, if Jonathan Toews was like, I'm not going to the White House, they'd be like, yeah, Toews, that's cool. No. I mean, and Arrieta's not number 25 on the roster here.
He is a big voice in that locker room, no question about it. I think the reason we're talking about it, really, is because of those past Twitter comments he's made about Hollywood leaving for the border and whatnot if Donald Trump was elected. So I think there's a little bit more to this story. I mean, if those comments were made, I think, to me, it doesn't really bother me all that much, as much as it does with you, Carm. I don't really care if Jake Arrieta goes to the White House or not.
I'm not gonna lose sleep over it, but I just think it's real interesting the way he's playing it. Hey, Jim.
I just love the excuses that he tied in brain surgery with tooth pulled.
It's just so bizarre. I kind of the original bringing it up. I just
like
wanted,
in his head he was like, oh yeah, my mother-in-law had brain surgery, and oh yeah, my son Cooper, he needs a tooth pulled. So I can't go.
Best excuses. Can you text him in?
That's what I want to hear. Do you have a go-to excuse to get out of work?
I was
a lame party, your job.
Yeah,
go-to.
I wanted to have fun with it and just do that angle of it. Best excuse.
Stomach issue is the best excuse.
312-981-7200. Just text him in.
If you let your boss know, like if you text him, you just want to ditch work that day, boss, got some stomach issues, your boss will likely be, enough said, take the day off. And then you can go play golf or go do whatever you want. And
right.
Play hooky that day.
Listen, I have
stomach issues. Always fine.
Arrieta.
Everyone's been through that.
Arrieta, I got a huge beard trimming on Monday. I could only get in. He's the most elite guy in the entire country. He's going to groom it up perfect. And then I've got a kale shake that's delivered to me on Mondays at my house at noon.
And I got the Pilates king of the Midwest.
Right.
Coming to my house.
847 texting and my cat threw up. That's
go
decent.
Cats.
That's decent. Hey, Steve, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you, Steve.
I agree. If he's, I don't think it's politically motivated, but
really,
I think that maybe there is something more into it than what he's stating. But only he knows that answer. I think.
Well, let's make up some conspiracy theories. Do you have any thoughts on that, Steve? Why do you think Jake Arrieta is skipping the White House? Anything deeper involved here? Maybe some sort of anti-government related type thing?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that he's he probably has some commitments, and maybe saying that getting the tooth pulled is an easier way to state that without getting too personal. But also, you know, equally important, I think, is, you know, the Cubs convention. I know there's a lot of players that didn't go to convention, and that's important, I think, for the fans.
Well, pretty much everybody was there this year. I don't think one player missed it.
I was amazed at all the old players that turned out.
Sean Marshall out of nowhere. Ted Lilly coming in.
Todd Walker. Scott Sanderson.
Wasn't that last night?
Yes, it was.
It was.
Yeah. Okay. It was the Johnny and Johnny.
Lester and Lackey, yes, they were both there. That's what you're asking.
And they played golf in the morning. Jumped on a flight, made it to Chicago.
Golfing.
Good for them.
Steve, we appreciate you.
Steve, you're the best. Thanks for calling in, man.
312-9. You got it. 312-981-7200. We've got explosive diarrhea coming
in.
Yeah,
that's what I was going towards with the stomach issue type thing.
Yeah. 847, it's about honoring the team. Get over it, Arietta. It's not about you or your politics. John wants to defend the Suns' dentist. This is a good way. He likes the Suns' dentist excuse. I like that angle. Okay. Good angle here. What's up, John? You think that the Suns' dentist is a solid excuse?
Sure, because, you know, the kid may not want to miss school, and Monday is a holiday, Martin Luther King Day, and most schools are off, and that's why they schedule the dentist appointment.
That's a great angle.
Don't pick on the guy unless you know the whole story.
You're right, John. You're right.
All right.
You got it, John.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that angle.
I mean, dentist office, you got it, John. Dentist office do stay open after 3 o'clock when school's over. But, I mean, when I was a kid, I went to the dentist at 3:30, 4 o'clock. By the way, I was just at the dentist. Paul, the teeth are in great shape.
Your teeth are?
Great shape.
I don't think mine are. I've been doing a grinding while I sleep situation thing.
You ever use a floss? How's the blood situation?
Yeah, I floss every now and again. Not as often as I should, but I'm due for a dentist visit, Carmen. I'm a little nervous.
Let's see here. Respect the office of the president, no matter who's sitting in the president. You're a member, and all team members should show up. Grow up, Jake from 312.
Someone said Jake didn't sign the team World Series ball either. He's a poor teammate. What World Series ball is 847 referring to? The one they're giving to President Obama? I will say this, that being around that locker room and talking to teammates, no one's ever said a bad word about Arietta as a teammate.
Yeah,
I've never heard a peep. They love him there. And I would say that from the public eye, a lot of people understand Anthony Rizzo is sort of the heart and soul. But I'll say the two guys that have a lot of pull in that locker room, really a few guys do, are the veteran pitchers, Arietta, Lester, Lackey. They have a presence in the clubhouse, Carm. I don't know if you felt that throughout the season, but those veteran guys really do have a lot of say with the team, although Rizzo is sort of the public eye, heart and soul face of the club.
There's no question. When Arietta walked through that clubhouse, first of all, he's a mountain of a man. I mean, the guy's ripped.
Arietta?
Yes.
Yeah.
847, I completely disagree with his politics. However, I respect his right to opt out. If I were asked to go to Trump's White House, there's no way I would go. 847, if your entire entire team was going to the White House to see the Don and be honored for an accomplishment, whatever you do at work, you sure you wouldn't go? I mean, maybe you wouldn't. Larry Bird didn't go to the White House in 1984, never really gave an explanation. He was asked, why didn't you go? Bird at the time, if the president wants to see me, Bird said he knows where to find me. Bird. Oh. Larry Joe didn't want to go see Ronald, which is kind of surprising.
217 says I need to wear a mouthpiece tonight or I'll wreck my jaw. Talking grinding teeth here, Carmen.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Albert Pujols didn't. It gets spun in a million different directions. All right, here. I know when Kevin gets into the grinding teeth, I think we've reached the end of this topic, so we'll move along. Let me read.
No, I think we've all sort of made our points here. I think some people are looking into this as a political statement. Someone like myself really doesn't care all that much that Jake Arrieta is skipping it. Me personally, I don't think, no matter who was the president at the time, I would go either way.
When the Rokon show is honored for winning the radio greatest show of all time.
Right.
Are you going to go to the White House if it's Trump, if it's Obama, if it's whoever the next president will be in 2020?
Yeah,
Will you go?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you go for any president in the history of the United States?
Yeah.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
Be fun.
And last thing on Arietta, his tweet. It's hard to convey a message in 140 characters. I thought he did a pretty good job. Other people didn't. But I feel like my stance is pretty open and honest, and it's not to put anybody down. I was simply calling out people who have a tremendous platform of millions of followers that said they were going to leave the country if Trump was elected. I was basically calling their bluff. If you don't want to live here, then beat it. I'm pretty pro-United States, as I think everybody in this country should be.
USA all the way.
If you want to stay here, as everyone should be, if you want to stay here. And if not, then I'm sure there's somewhere else they can go.
269 with a great theory here. What if his wife's political view and she's pressuring him not to go? Love the show. Barb, thanks, Barb. I appreciate that theory.
Well, Barb, if that was the case, I would be disappointed in Jake. I think the beautiful thing about a marriage is that you come together, but you're also, you don't have to agree on every single thing.
847, Jordan Burnfield says Carm has the whitest teeth ever.
Thank you, taxi driver Bob. LOL. I wish my teeth were whiter, actually. Can I see your teeth?
They're pretty white. It's not the whitest teeth I've ever seen, not even close.
No, I really don't have
it. It's an overstatement by Burnfield.
I think the whitest teeth of all time is John Lackey.
Are
those real?
I don't know what's going on there. Those are big, those are white, and those are loud teeth.
It's an aggressive tooth.
It's an aggressive tooth. 708 says, what if the president was Jennifer Lopez? That's random. I would still go. Absolutely.
Last one on this. Joy's called in like three times. So, Joy, go ahead. What do you want to say, Joy, and then we'll wrap her up.
Hey, guys. You already just mentioned about what he said about I'm an American. I was just trying to call their bluff on if you're saying you were going to leave if Trump became president, go ahead and leave. I think maybe that's one of the reasons that Jake doesn't want to go to this event. Maybe he's just tired of the BS of people not having integrity with their words and what they say. If you talk about a team, he's calling America the team, and he's on America's team. This is Jake. What about Gutierrez and these other people are saying, I'm not going to go because I have reasons not to go to the inauguration. And this isn't about me supporting Trump. I believe Jake is trying to have the integrity to say, Meryl Streep, if you're saying that violence begets violence and it's a terrible role model because such and such a person is so violent, look at your own industry and all the violent movies. Come on, just cut the BS and speak the truth. No matter who you are or who you're for, I think Jake's doing that. He's saying, I'm an American, I'm supporting the Team America, and saying, hey, if you said you're going to leave, go ahead and leave. Hey, or don't say you're going to leave.
Joy, do you like it when athletes / celebrities, movie stars, whatever, do you like it when they speak out, put their views out there?
I don't. Currently, I listen to WGN Radio. I don't even own a TV for the last year for some reason, and I haven't missed it because I don't rely on celebrities for my inner compass. So I think what he's doing is the right thing. Leave him to his own inner compass and, you know, let him be. He's taken a stand. He's a man, and more power to him. So no matter who he's for or whatever. I don't feel like he's somebody who's against. I feel like he's for things in life, and right. I don't even know the man. So
you just took
Take care, guys.
Okay, Joy, thank you very much. It was a nice left turn there. No TV, just listens to GN. I feel like Joy's having a nice –
probably should give her a prize.
I mean, that's a very, very relaxed lifestyle that Joy's bringing to the table.
I rarely watch TV. If I didn't love sports, and then I'm sure I would have an interest in something else, but all I watch on TV now is sports, a little news. I rarely watch TV.
Came home last night after doing the overnight show. Thank you for the sit-in, Matt Bubala. I got home 5:30 a.m., went right into a Bulls rerun from the other night, watched TNT. I needed a little.
You watched a Bulls rerun. Of which game?
15. I watched the pregame for Bulls Knicks. I wanted to be up to date on a Bulls Knicks for you today, Kevin Powell. So I started watching the pre.
It's aggressive.
And then I didn't last very long. By the way, the Blackhawks lost last night to the Capitals 6-0. That's their worst loss in multiple years. That was disappointing. All right, quick timeout. Coming on back. There's another guy that's under fire and has been for a while. Around the Chicago Cubs, we shall discuss the manager up next, 720 WGN. There's some good anger on the old text line. Hey, Mark and Kevin.
It's addressed to you, Mark.
Well, yeah, I guess this one is more for me. Maybe Jake doesn't want to meet Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the Clintons. Or
you can say that.
I can?
I think. Just do it.
I'll say large, Rosie O'Donnell.
Large butt Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, after they all lived there for the past 8 years, right? Give us a break out here. I actually believe that is around about what he thinks, and I just wanted him to say it. If you're not going to go, if you're really not going to go and you're not going to be with your teammates and you're going to come out with that tweet, just be honest, buddy. It's cool. I mean, I'm not going to like it, but that's all right. I don't have to like it, and some people will. All right. Joe Maddon last night at the convention, Kevin Powell.
Yes.
And thank you for joining us on 720 WGN today. Do we have another break for the top of the hour here, Dan Long? Yes, we do. Okay, thank you. Just needed to know that. I thought that it was one of the cooler moments last night was when they introduced Joe Maddon and the crowd went crazy for Joe Maddon. And I, by the way, I didn't agree with everything that Joe Maddon did, but I liked that Joe Maddon heard the cheers last night.
The obsession over Joe Maddon's decisions throughout the postseason, particularly the World Series, and particularly Game 7 and what he did with Aroldis Chapman, get over it if you're still bothered by it. Just get over it. They've gotten over it. If the team's gotten over it, I think you should as a fan.
Yeah, Anthony Rizzo, I think it's unfair to Joe.
And who is honestly still talking about this, by the way?
A lot of people.
Who?
I do think it's a media thing.
It's a media thing because they're nitpicking something that was damn near perfect, and there's not a whole lot to get on them about negative-wise. And everyone's picking about Maddon. Do you understand how much Joe Maddon means to this team? That team doesn't win the World Series without Joe Maddon.
Joe Madden's been phenomenal. Joe Maddon messed up.
And it all starts with Joe Maddon, the mindset. He messed up with Chapman. Whatever. They got away with it and they won.
Right.
Relax.
So this is the Rizzo. I think it's unfair to Joe what he has created in our entire organization. He's the best Chicago manager ever. It's a little bit of the tallest midget there, but that's a true statement. And I'd say he's the best Chicago manager ever by far is what I would add on to there for Rizzo, and I think he would agree with that. And he has averaged 100 wins the last 2 years. He's brought a culture to this part of the city that everyone has bought into.
Correct.
The fans have pretty much completely shifted from thinking the worst now, especially after we won the World Series. For people to try to second-guess something he did, even though we won, you kind of just laugh at it. We ride and die on his every move, and he's the ultimate captain of our ship. Without him and the tone he sets, none of us would be doing what we do, Anthony Rizzo.
So the outrage from some fans or people that are still talking about it, maybe it's still bugging some people. One, I could understand where you're coming from if this was a sign of more things to come with Maddon and you were worried about his managerial decision-making ability. But when you look at the overall body of work, what the decisions Joe Maddon made throughout the year, pulling starting pitchers at the right time, building perfect lineups for pitching matchups, things like that, for a full stretch, don't worry about Joe Maddon. He's one of the great baseball minds out there. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. And two, if you're worried that this is somehow going to make players second-guess Maddon or not believe in him or trust him, you're wrong, because we've already heard it in just a couple days. In Rizzo's statement there, you were talking to Almora last night, and he says, he said it flat out, I'll do whatever Joe wants me to do.
Yeah, and
There's nothing to worry about. Just get over it.
And two things here. Number one, Aroldis Chapman, as great as he was at times, the guy was a mental midget who didn't like to pitch when...
Well, and he criticized Maddon when he went back to New York. He says he overworked me and this and
right.
that. Okay, so when you hear that sort of attitude, is it Joe Maddon's managerial decision-making that led to Chapman having some struggles? Or was it Chapman in his own head saying, well, why is he putting me in here? I like to go in the ninth and clean innings and this and that.
I'm glad that guy's gone, bottom line.
I think if you're a Cub fan, you should probably
His off-field is disgusting, and his comments are gross.
Which is a perfect segue to what we're talking about later on in the show, Carm.
Which is what? I forgot.
Little domestic violence
talk.
Yeah. One of the Kansas City Chiefs players, Tyreek Hill, phenomenal, has a ugly, ugly past. And we were sort of talking about this a little bit earlier with Williams. Do you have any sort of issues with teams signing, trading for players that have nasty domestic violence cases in their past?
Somebody, 847 texting, Maddon pinch hit switcheroo on Bochy was very slick, which it was. I forget the exact whole circumstance there where he basically worked it so...
Which, by the way, was... Those
what
are the...
was that? Who did he want to have coming up there? And who ended up coming through? Long, do you remember that moment? I know you remember the moment. Do you remember exactly how it all played out? I think you remember the moment. I remember the moment. It was brilliant.
All I know is those are the two best managers in baseball, and it was a joy seeing them go head-to-head.
And 847, by the way, I agree with you. Chapman played his role. Yes, he did. But, Wade Davis can play that role, and you don't get the rest of it with him. Mike Kruko, who used to pitch for the Cubs back in the day, now does commentary for 680 KNBR out in San Francisco. I mean, he was one of the guys just crushing Maddon.
Yeah, he called it arrogant, trying to put his signature on it, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and I would disagree with that.
It was the arrogance that he was trying to put his signature on what was going to happen. You're going to be smarter than the game, Kruko asked facetiously. I was so outraged at what I was watching. And then he follows it up with, look, he's done a great job, granted. I mean, come on, he's done a great job. He was the guy who kept them going down 3-1. But at some point in time, you cannot be arrogant enough to think you have to put your signature on the game. And to me, that's what he was doing. Didn't make sense.
Okay, relax.
He was not reading the room. He was not managing this game as it should have been managed.
Reading the room.
I just wanted to slap the guy.
Oh,
slap him. Wow, easy there, Kruko.
Classic Kruko, trying to slap Madden.
As it turned out, they won despite him, despite his overmanaging. And it'll be forgotten by a lot of people, but it won't be forgotten by me and a lot of people.
Take that to your grave, Kruko. He'll never get over it, Joe Madden. How will you go on as a manager of the Chicago Cubs? How will you go on knowing Kruko is upset with you?
Kruko. Hey, some sound from the convention. I talked to Jason Hayward, talked to Albert Almora. Hayward working on the new swing. Almora about leading off, which was my own thought. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
4 o'clock hour. Welcome in. Thanks for putting on 720 WGN. He's Kevin Powell. He's got a mojito tea and some beef jerky to keep him nourished, sustained.
Need a little jerky in my life, a little protein action.
Like the move by you. Good, nice, solid job during the 4 o'clock news. I'm Mark Carmen, living on a, what did I get? I got a little bagel sand this morning there, Powell.
Bacon and egg?
No, I went a ham, Munster, cheese.
Oh, I thought earlier you were telling me you hit a McDonald's run.
No, I hit 5:30 this morning. I hit a Jerry's Grill, Montrose and Western.
Check the menu out.
With the old school diner with the 2-egg hash brown.
Why did you eat after the show when you were going right to bed? Did that give you any sort of digestive issues?
No, never a digestive issue there. I'm hungry after the show. I feel like I've pushed my body hard going over that, so I want a nourishment.
It's a physically demanding job sitting here talking to a microphone. People forget that, Carm.
That's what I'm talking about. You think it's easy to be sleep deprived for those 3 hours to entertain the masses? It's a serious issue. So I go with a nourishment into the sleep.
It's understandable. Recover while you sleep.
Yeah, that's my expert move. And then I wake up, I feel great, and then I go right into a bagel sandwich, and I'm here ready to perform.
Big time move by you. A lot of carb action in that though, Carm.
Yeah.
A lot of carbs.
Yeah, not good. Not good. I'm not loving the scale.
High protein diet.
Just keep me on track of what's going on. We're gonna play a couple. We want to figure out who should lead off for the Cubs in a second here. I've got a couple candidates outside of Kyle Schwarber. But just real fast, NFL playoffs, we're watching that for you. 7-7, Atlanta and Seattle. Early going second quarter. Paul, do you have a wager on this one? You got anything going?
No wagers, nothing.
Okay. And then Big Ten buckets today. My dream right now, my sports dream, is Northwestern will go to the tournament.
Go Cats.
Not a good day for Cats RPI. Michigan beat Nebraska. You want a Nebraska to win, makes the Cats look...
Minnesota lost to Penn State. That hurts.
Right. Both of those hurt the Cats.
Huge game, though, you've forgotten to mention, though, Carm. Occurring in Bloomington Normal tonight, the Illinois State Redbirds host the Wichita State Shockers. Both undefeated in MVC play. 5-0, winner takes first place in the conference.
That is huge. My bad.
Illinois State's going to make a run for the tournament.
I was going to get there, fear the bird, but you jumped.
I don't think you were, Carm. That's why I figured I had to jump in and interrupt you. Yeah. Make sure we got that plug in. Yeah, fear the bird.
It's actually probably more accurate. Good job, Kevin. Maryland and your Fighting Illini coming up at 5, and most importantly, tomorrow night, 6:30, the Northwestern Wildcats at home with Iowa.
Okay.
Paul, Dave Ennett's got 2 tickets for you, Kevin.
Yeah. Does he? I wanted to go to that game.
Do you really?
I've got, yeah. Why, do you have tickets?
I feel like we can get that done if you want to come out.
Are you going?
Yes, absolutely.
I've got to do the CLTV sports feed.
Oof.
But that's a short hit.
Love CLTV sports feed. The oof was that you're going to miss the game because of that.
Well, I think the sports feed's...
6 to 6:30, isn't it? Game's at 6:30. Tomorrow night's not going to be your night. But I want to see you at Welsh Ryan this year.
I haven't been to a game yet. And that was the game I was eyeing, but you get a text from the sports feed guys, and you can't pass that up.
No, you absolutely not. Larry Hawley calls
you. Larry Hawley texts or calls you. You got to say, yes, Larry, I'll be there.
You must run. Okay, so who do you want leading off for the Chicago Cubs? Apparently,
Kyle Schwarber.
Really?
Yeah. Makes a ton of sense. Overwhelms the opposing pitcher. You're going to go Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo? How often will Cubs starting pitchers have a 1-run, 2-run, 3-run lead to start a game?
Okay, Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo. Then who's hitting 4?
Zobrist.
Zobie, 4, 5?
yeah, it depends. And then we got to figure out with probably a Russell situation.
Uh-huh.
A lot of power in that bat.
Six.
Maybe a Contreras.
Seven.
Your Hayward.
Eight. Baez.
Well, Madden's talked about pitcher eighth because if you got Schwarber leading off, then you've got pitcher eighth, and then ninth would be Almora or John Jay. That gives more opportunities to Kyle Schwarber to have runners on base, which I love it.
I like that, the pitcher hitting eighth with Schwarber leading off, so you have sort of a pseudo leadoff guy in front of him. That's interesting.
Now, if it's a lefty starting pitcher, then you've got yourself a little bit different situation. Then if you've talked about Almora potentially leading off. He bats righty, Schwarber lefty, of course. Maybe Almora gets some shots at leading off.
So we go Almora, righty, Schwarbs, lefty.
Now, I think Bryant's going to stay in that two hole.
I like him in the three hole.
But I could see, okay, yeah, that's fine, because Rizzo's comfortable moving around.
Righty, Almora, lefty.
Madden does love the righty-lefty thing.
Right, Schwarbs, righty, Bryant, Rizzo.
Lefty.
Lefty, four.
Zobrist.
Zobie, switch hitter, five. Then you've got, in my ideal world, Baez is your sixth guy. Contreras, seven.
But hang on a second here, because if Zobrist is in the lineup and so is Schwarber, where's Baez playing?
I've got Schwarber in left. In this particular lineup that I just came up with, Schwarber's in left. Zobie's in right, and Hayward's in center. But if Hayward's not in the line, if Hayward's in right, then we got it. Then,
but I thought we started the lineup off with Almora in center.
Can't do that. Good point. I've really thought this through.
Yes.
All right. So in that situation, well, that's the problem, though. Like,
it's not a problem. It's a good problem.
Well, it's not. Well, okay.
Here's the thing.
The lineup's going to move around.
Here's the thing. Schwarber has to be in the lineup every day. His bat is way too valuable not to be in the lineup every day. And maybe they ease him in a little bit early on in the year. Maybe they don't put a full workload on him just right away, and he pinch hits late towards the end of games and things like that.
I think a Schwarbs plays 130 games. I think basically all of them are going to play about 130. You're going to have...
You could also see Schwarber starting games and bringing in stronger defense towards the end of the game.
Sure.
Moving Zobrist to left field, bringing Baez into second, taking Schwarber out. All sorts of scenarios. And I love Joe Madden talking about his lineup the other day because he's like, yeah, I was just at a coffee shop just jotting down lineups, tinkering with it. But isn't that what you envision with Joe Madden?
Yes.
He's like a mad scientist, just sort of hunkered over, sipping on a cup of coffee, doodling down lineups, envisioning his lineups for next season and how they're going to crush every opposing pitcher because it's a stacked lineup. And Jason Hayward is not going to have nearly as bad of a year at the plate as he did last year. That's my big bold statement for you, Carm.
Speaking of Jay Hay, we'll hear from him in 1 second. But first, John wants to throw another name into the mix. What's up, John? Welcome to 720.
Yeah, how you doing? I heard you this morning. You sounded good, man.
Thanks, John.
Okay, buddy. Anyways, I think Jay is the main key on that. The dude can get on base, and he's a good hitter. He has to start. He has to be leadoff.
John Jay.
You don't big on base guy. Yes. Joe Madden talked to him about it at convention today, and it's kind of a funny comment Madden played. I mean, we may be able to find that later, but it was during the managerial fan forum where fans can ask questions, and somebody asked about Jay, and he was like, "Well, I've watched Jay for years, and at first I didn't really understand it," is how Madden put it. He didn't really get how John Jay has had such a good career. And he says the more and more he watched them, you played against them a lot. I mean, Jay played with St. Louis, and he's like, he's a huge fan. Sounds like he likes the guy. So I think Jay's going to get a fair shot. And the most important thing with Jay and the reason they signed him is because it's a safety net for Albert Almora.
John Jay last year, he batted first. By far the most, 288 at-bats in the one hole. He had 48 at-bats in the two hole. Had a couple at-bats at 5, 6, 8, and 9.
He'll get some reps at leadoff, no question, John.
So,
I think you'll see him there.
Yeah.
But the signing with Jay, I like it. He's steady. He's a veteran. He's played a lot of games. He's good in the field. As Carm just mentioned, he's let off a lot. And again, the biggest thing is he's the safety net for Almora, who is going to get a chance to prove himself and try to become that everyday center fielder. But when he does have those growing pains early on in the year, they know they can put a veteran guy like this in the outfield. But I think, John, I think you'll see him get some opportunities in the one spot.
Excuse me. Also, I think I heard that they're still looking for somebody other than Jay out there. Have you heard anything on that?
Where'd you hear that there?
I've heard that through the sports writers, this and that. Heard anything?
I have not heard any more outfield additions. I don't know where you would put them, John.
I mean, other than Jay, they're looking for maybe somebody like, I don't know. I heard that. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard anything like that. If there's going to be any more additions, it's likely going to be in the pitching department, whether it's a flexible pitcher that you can stretch into a 5/5B pitcher and also put in the bullpen. Travis Wood could be coming back. I've heard that.
They wanted Tyson Ross, but he just signed with the Rangers. Hey, John, appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
thank you, John.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you, John. I'll call.
Take care, guy.
I'll get Dorf on the phone. Maybe he's heard that rumor. I don't think they're.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, you need depth, but I think they have plenty of it already. I think, if anything, there's some bullpen question marks, and we'll see what Mike Montgomery becomes, which I have faith in Montgomery. He's a big dude. He's a strong dude.
I'm looking at the history of John Jay. I mean, he's really most of the time he's batted down in the order. He's batted two a lot. Last year he hit a ton of leadoff. They're going to move it around. It's going to be fine. I'm going to miss Dexter, but I think they're going to survive. And let's see here. John Jay. Most times he's hitting one, he's hitting two, whatever. It doesn't matter. Get him cooking.
High on base percentage, .352 career on base percentage. That's good.
2000 and what year did I just pull up? 2013 as a St. Louis Cardinal. He hit leadoff 100. He had 100 at bats in the leadoff hole. He hit 200. He had 155 at bats in the two hole. He hit .290.
What's the on base though?
Overall on base in 2013. Here, hang on a second.
847 is asking for a score update. Seahawks up 10-7 on the Falcons.
In 2000, his best season was 2014 with the Cardinals. He had .303, then with a on base of .372. For his career, he's a .287 hitter, .352 on base. He's had trouble staying healthy the last couple of years. Played 79 games in 2015, 90 games with the Padres last year, 347 at bats. This is where you got to have the trust in Joe, right? What day is it right to play John Jay? What day is it right to play Albert Amora? Where are they going to hit in the lineup? Who's going to lead off? How is he going to get Kyle Schwarber off his feet? Are they going to put him behind the plate? I don't think they will. All that stuff.
Yeah, and you have the best manager in baseball, so if anybody's going to make the proper decision, it's going to be Joe Maddon.
Let's hear real quick Jason Hayward. 1 minute with Jay Hay at the Woody's winter warm-up last night. Jay Hay on his offseason.
Jason Hayward, rumor on the street is you've been working super hard.
I always work super hard, so it's just another offseason. I want to come back and help my team win and put a lot of time into myself and just do what I can to contribute. But absolutely, I always work hard and have fun.
But you barely gave yourself a break, right? And you're constructing this whole new swing. Is that fair or no?
I feel like I had a normal offseason for the most part. You got to give yourself a break. You take some time off to rest up and heal. But after that, you got to work hard, work smart, and get ready for another season. It's easy to look at last season and say it's a team that we won a World Series and get complacent with that, but that's not the way this team works. And the last game of the regular season we played, it was like game 162, but we got our 103rd win. We were down going into the ninth inning, and we just, these guys never settle, and every individual is the same way. Everybody wants to be ready for their part, so I'm no different.
Being on that stage tonight, Cubs convention, seeing all the people, getting the love.
Oh, can never describe it. This is my second year, getting to feel that and experience it. Obviously, it's a little bit sweeter this year, winning the World Series and coming back to that energy in the city. But it never gets old. Cubs fans everywhere, unbelievable. They're so grateful. They're so, genuine when they express their love for the team, express their, pain and everything, even when they go through ups and downs. But, you just really appreciate how genuine they are when they look for anything to be positive about and they ride it out.
So bottom line, head downs, let's go for the back-to-back.
We're always going for a World Series. Last year is over with now. We're going for a World Series, and whatever happens, happens. But we're going to take it one day at a time, look up, and see where that gets us.
Always a class act. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Jay Hay, we were dancing a wagon wheel while we did the interview.
I love the word genuine he used, because Jason Hayward is genuine. I love covering Jason Hayward. He had a horrible year at the plate last year, and he always would talked to the media still. He was still a great teammate. You never heard a negative thing about him from teammates or from him. He's a genuine dude. I love covering him, and I just love – I like talking to him. He's a good dude.
Yep, yep, yep. He doesn't give you a ton, though. It's never like –
he doesn't give you a ton, but he's he signed a monster contract. He could have been a real
– he's as professional as they come.
He is.
Tremendous teammate. Called the meeting in Game 7, bottom line. Will always go down in Cubs lore. Jason Hayward, I don't care what he did last year. He called the meeting. The Cubs won the World Series. Jason Hayward's underpaid. They should double his salary.
Wow.
He's gonna
turn around at the plate next year.
See, that's what I wanted to hear from him there. So you've had this, you know, everyone says he's working
so
hard.
Yeah, you could say it's been the same, but before the offseason, he said he was going to change things up a little bit. He was going to get to Arizona. He was going to work on his swing a lot. That was talked about. So for him to say it was a regular – no, it wasn't a regular offseason for him.
Yeah, listen, man, I've seen 17,000 videos of you with your hands in a different position.
Right,
you're hitting off a tee. Right. I don't trust that it's going to make a huge difference, but hopefully it will. Got to get that confidence flowing, K-Powell.
Got to find that sweet spot.
Say this about Jason Hayward.
Outstanding defender.
Outstanding suit last night.
Good suit.
The dude looked, I mean.
Good for him. He's doing well in the.
In many departments.
Female department.
Yes. Jason Hayward.
Most of them are, but bravo, Jason Hayward.
Well, yeah, Jason Hayward, Albert Almora. A lot of these guys showing up at the Woody's winter warm-up.
Do you have any luck? Because when I was there, you know.
Luck how?
Well, I shouldn't say this. You were there in a professional manner, would never, of course, be thinking about anything other than your professional job at hand. But there was people were.
Are you talking about all the pretty women that were at Woody's winter warm up and whether I had any luck with them? Is that what you're asking?
That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, no luck.
No luck?
No luck. Unlike Jake Arrieta, I will give you a direct answer today. No luck.
One girl was digging you, Carmen. I told you. And your eyes lit up. You said, really? I felt the energy between you two. That could have been the one, Carmen. You missed it.
Everybody loves to be digged. I was hoping that you were spot on a digging. But I didn't. I was, as you just said, Kevin, I was professional.
Right.
I got
at the Carm. Meanwhile, I was walking around eating the free food because you were handling the interviews. Solid beef kebabs for these winter warm-up. Gotta go beef.
Kevin was crushing this beef kebab. I'm like, solid move, great look. How was it? A little dry.
It was a little dry. You know, it's hard to feed the masses. They put those kebabs together, and then they're in like a warming tray type thing, and people are nibbling away all night. It's difficult.
Right.
But always err on the side of medium rare.
Right. Well, it's hard, again, right. It's sitting out there. I went late night burger. It was cold, but it was still delicious.
Oh, you went with one of those sliders they had there?
Yeah.
See, I didn't do any of that. I wasn't that hungry, but I never pass up the free food. You know, if it's there, you got to eat it.
Thank you, Harry Carey's. Thank you, Grant Porter.
Yeah, Carrie Wood Foundation, phenomenal.
Yeah, all that.
Charity was great.
All right, quick timeout. We'll get you into your 4:30 news. Coming up after 4:30, how do you separate your sports from your serious? We'll explain that after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN. We have power people coming into the studio. Sales is here, giving tours.
Just doing tours. Barb texts in, Carm 312. It says, hi, Carm. Your overnight show was very good. I enjoyed it, but did not text in the early morning. You are quite entertaining.
Thank you, Barb.
That's a stretch, Barb.
Yeah, but, you know, Barb is Barb's. Barb. Thank you for doing that. That's very nice of you. Always fun to sit in for Matt Bubala or Nick DiGilio or Dave Plyer or whoever on the overnight. Last night was a lot of.
What'd you talk about?
I got a little emotional on a President Obama leaving office. KP,
emotional?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I just said like I'm gonna.
You're an emotional guy. You were tearing up at the convention last night.
I like to be. Let's go, Jim Valvano. A great day. You laugh. You cry. What's the other one?
You laugh, cry.
Something. That's me, KP.
Okay.
We celebrated the five things that you love or miss about the president, okay. And then we did.
I mean, he's got to be maybe the coolest president of all time.
So cool.
Just a cool dude.
I
threw this on Twitter the other day when he was in town. I said Barry's in town, and someone thought that was offensive.
Well, just relax. Barry's not offended by that.
That's what I'm saying.
Barry,
like I just hey, throw a Barry out there. Like if I saw him walking on Michigan Avenue.
I mean,
Barry.
So one of the things I love about Barry is that Barry hoops. I played a clip of him and Clark Kellogg doing horse on the
plays
white,
golf, but he's really bad at it.
That's fine. I enjoy a bad at golf. The dude put a full court hoop at the White House.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, that speaks to how I like to live my life. All right, let's move along here. So how do you separate the serious from the entertaining of sports? Now, if you're paying attention to the NFL playoffs, which, by the way, the Falcons lead the Seahawks 12-10, 6:06 to go.
Russell Wilson tripped while pulling out of the pocket into the end zone, tackled for a safety.
Tomorrow, it's the Cowboys and the Packers at 3, and then it was a noon game, but moved to tomorrow.
I love this. Gives us something tomorrow night to watch.
Little Sunday night action.
Wonderful.
You got the Chiefs at home with the Steelers because there's supposed to be a rainstorm tomorrow, freezing rainstorm in Kansas City. So why are we bringing up the Kansas City Chiefs on 720 WGN? One of the most exciting players that you'll see in the game tomorrow, if you do check out the NFL playoffs tomorrow night, which, by the way, you should be watching Northwestern. But okay,
or the
Blackhawks. Listen to the Blackhawks on GN. Watch the Cats. That'd be my move. But okay, Tyreek Hill, number 10, leads the Chiefs with 12 touchdowns. Has scored in four different ways. The first rookie in the history of the NFL to do that since Gale Sayers back in 1965.
He's ran a 4.24 40. The guy's electric.
Right. I mean, it's when you watch
phenomenal athlete.
When you watch him run, it's like, oh my
it's
god.
A blur.
Right. Two rushing touchdowns, two receiving touchdowns. Scored a touchdown as a punt returner. Scored a touchdown as a kick returner. So the last rookie to do that, Gale Sayers, 65. 15.2 yards average on punts, which is insane. By far the best in the NFL. All right, but you go back in his past, 2014, he was playing for Oklahoma State in college. The week after he returned a punt for a touchdown that gave the Cowboys a victory over Oklahoma, charged with felony domestic abuse.
And this is a bit graphic, but I think we should explain and tell everyone what happened, Carl.
Yeah, by strangulation for attacking his girlfriend, who was 8 weeks pregnant. Accused of throwing his girlfriend like a, quote, rag doll to the floor before putting her in a headlock and punching her in the stomach. Have you ever heard of anything as bad as that? I'm sure you have, but those are all really, really, really bad things.
And props to Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy, who kicked Hill off the team immediately after that.
Right, and so he ends up at Western Kentucky, and then the Chiefs end
West
up...
West Alabama, correct?
Oh, is it Western Alabama? My bad. Western Alabama. And then he ends up being a fifth-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs, who said at the time, hey, trust us on this. We've talked to Tyreek Hill. He's doing a ton of work off the field with domestic violence, and he's growing up, and we're going to give him a chance. So, and I do believe that people deserve second chances to a point. But here's a guy that clearly would not have gotten a second chance with something that bad unless he was elite. And that's what he is. He's elite. Just like Aroldis Chapman, by the way, of your Cubs, was elite as a closer. So, I mean, it's a simple question. Like, how do you separate rooting for someone who has done horrendous things off the field? I mean, I'm not talking about, like, Dennis Rodman throwing Scottie Pippen into a basket support type of stuff, which, by the way, I had a hard time getting over ever rooting for that guy.
Understandable.
But this is real stuff. How do you root for...
Being a sports fan my whole life and being passionate about sports, I think I've sort of learned that you need to root for jerseys and teams rather than individual players. Because if you get caught up with the individual stuff, look, I mean, everyone was cheering on the Cubs with Aroldis Chapman, and we all know what he did. And the Cubs tried to have this squeaky clean image that they were this Mr. Positive smile on your face, Cubby blue team. And then they go get Aroldis Chapman, and everyone's like, oh, that's right. No matter what, this is a business, and because Aroldis Chapman throws 105 miles per hour and can strike anybody in baseball out, and they need him in their bullpen, you go and get somebody like that, and you put certain things in the past. I think as a fan, just sort of approach it as I'm rooting for, let's just say the Bears had somebody along these lines. Just say I'm a Bears fan, so I'm rooting for the Bears. Because if you start breaking down individual players and all their pasts, I mean – majority of professional athletes are good dudes, but there are a nasty bunch in all sports. So my suggestion would be just sort of root for teams and jerseys rather than the name on the back of the jersey.
312-981-7200. How do you separate the two? I mean, the Bears went out and signed Ray McDonald. They were heavily criticized for it. And it didn't work out. He had another incident, and he ends up getting cut.
773 texting in. I want Hill on my team. I wouldn't care about his past as long as he helped my team win. The Cowboys, baby. If you can produce on the field, we will take you. Look, 773, I'm not going to argue with you there. I'm not, because it's sort of one of those things that you kind of don't want to admit to or really talk about or even say it out loud, but that's the truth. I mean, that's the truth. You bring in the best talent. I mean, as hard as it is to swallow, as long as you think the guy has maybe turned a corner and isn't going to present issues down the road and put other people in danger, and you think he has changed, and as dirty as you may feel for that, if a guy, that's professional sports. I mean, that's the thing with all these teams. They try to have these squeaky, clean PR images, but it's ruthless, man. They want to win, and they want to make money, and they want to win championships.
847 texting, and as a woman, I'm offended that he got a second chance.
I understand that argument
and,
as well.
And, listen, as a man, I'm offended that he got a second chance. Again, I believe in people getting second chances, but this one's horrendous.
It's horrible.
I mean, you're talking about, listen, somebody who...
It's sort of frustrating because sports, like, I get how some people like despise sports. They hate some of the violent natures about it. They think it's jockheads and idiots. Well, sports as a whole, and football more specifically, are enabling this guy in life, sort of, I guess. You know what I mean? I mean, he could do that stuff, but because he can run a 4.240 and he can do incredible things on the playing field, everyone in the Chiefs organization sort of overlooks it and says, you know what, we'll bring you in because you can tear it up on the field.
Right, and I think you got to take each case separately, right?
Yeah, like, that's true. That's true.
Like Joe Mixon played for Oklahoma.
Horrible
story, but listen, he was suspended, kicked off the team, and then brought back with a second chance. Well, his story is, I mean, here's an African-American guy. It's 2 a.m. His white girlfriend comes up to him in whatever restaurant they're in Oklahoma. She pushes him. She hits him. She uses...
Those are stretches, Carm.
She didn't.
Okay.
She got physical with him twice.
Okay, it wasn't like she was smacking, like bringing a chair and hitting him. It was just, it wasn't...
Sure, okay,
smacking,
that's
smacking and punching him. That,
but she hit him.
If you watch the video, she wasn't smacking and punching him. There was some physical contact from her, but he's a Division I athlete. I think he could take a couple smacks.
Sure, but then she also dropped the N-bomb on him. Okay? You got two.
Still an excuse.
Yes, he's wrong. 100%. Wrong. But it's different than Tyreek Hill.
I see what you're saying. You're saying, from an evaluation standpoint for a team.
You drop a racial slur on me, and you hit me twice, and it's 2 a.m, and I've probably had some alcohol, and then I go and I do everything off the field that I'm supposed
to. You're saying it's a little different than Tyreek Hill choking his pregnant girlfriend and punching her in the stomach.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are great. Ray Rice
hasn't played in the NFL since the video of him knocking out his girlfriend in an elevator came out, but he was also towards the end of his career or in the other half of 30, and teams really don't care all that much about 30-plus-year-old running backs.
Very simple question for you. Would you rather lose and have a team...
An ethically sound team.
Yes, or would you rather win and be highly questionable with your morality?
Remember, the Cubs won with Aroldis Chapman.
312-981-7200. Now, he doesn't taint the whole team, but he certainly helped them win it. Hey, Tom, welcome to WGN.
Hey, man. A couple of quick thoughts. Enjoying the topic. Patrick Kane comes to mind. I told my kids they should have traded him. You know, the picture of him on the bar in Madison or whatever it was, passed out, and then I don't know what happened in Buffalo. We'll never know. But there's a difference. One of you said, you know, a case-by-case basis. Ray Rice, Hill, yeah, I mean, those kind of things, those are deal-breakers, right? I think. And I think that I would rather teach my kids, because sports should always be a template for learning, hopefully. I've coached baseball and hockey, and I think I'd rather lose.
But Tom, doesn't it change a little bit at the professional level? Of course, everything you just mentioned, peewee baseball, youth soccer, youth basketball, you want to teach values and certain character things. But in professional, the only thing that matters is winning and making money.
Does it? I mean, where are the peewees learning from, right?
Right. Hopefully.
I'm glad I'm a Sox fan, so I don't have to answer the Chapman question, but I see what you're saying.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not saying that that's what professional sports should be. I'm just saying that's the truth.
That's the
reality.
I understand. And football seems to be different, really, than most others, too, in terms of their level of forgiveness, right?
It is harder, Tom, I'm with you, to find 53 perfect football players than it is to, say, find 5 basketball players or 12 basketball players who would fit under the positive moral umbrella, if you will.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the number of players. I guess I didn't think about that, but that's a great point.
So Tom, if you're...
I just think there's a couple of things. My only point is there's a couple of things that are deal breakers, right? Dragging your pregnant girlfriend around by the hair and punching her. I mean, you're beyond help and hope to me. I don't know. To each his own.
Right.
I understand they want to win. I get it.
I didn't mean to laugh that off. In that one, I don't know if to each his own can apply to something like that. I mean, to each his own on a milkshake, chocolate, or vanilla. Hey, Tom, great call, man.
Great show.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
And then there's whole different levels there. Patrick Kane, that was – I didn't expect to hear his name in this. But then, okay, so do you care – the Blackhawks.
Putting Kane, I understand the things that happened in Buffalo, but he was excused of all that, and then that was sort of thrown out the window, and there's a whole lot of question marks and holes there. So I'm not going to put anything on him for that in terms of his immaturity. But that's a perfect case. The Blackhawks stuck with him. And look at Patrick Kane now. He's a completely different person than he was 5 years ago, but that was just a kid being a kid, being drunk and goofy at a college camp. Thank God I wasn't a celebrity in college and there weren't photos of what I was doing in college. But that's an example of a team sticking with somebody, much different case than a domestic violence case.
Also sticking with them with some very I wasn't in the room and I don't exactly know what happened, but it seemed that there were some serious, serious conversations with Patrick about getting his act together.
There were. 815 says, I think you would feel differently if it was your mother, your sister, or your daughter. You're probably waiting, 815. I'm not excusing any of it by any means. It's horrible. I'm just trying to put everybody in the shoes of professional sports franchises. And no matter how much we want to think they're ethically... You know, their moral compass is on par and in the right direction. It all comes down to winning. It all comes down to winning. And I think some teams, there has been cases where it's hard to pick a team that says, they passed on it, because no team's going to come out for the most part and say, we didn't sign that guy because of this or that. You know what I mean? So there are, I'm not saying all teams like that, because maybe there are, Tyreek Hill was drafted in the 5th round. That means a lot of teams passed on him in the draft. If he didn't have that on his record, he probably would have been a top, a first round, maybe a second round draft pick. So there were teams that passed on a Tyreek Hill knowing these things. So I shouldn't paint a broad brush that all franchises are built the same way. But for the most part, if a team has the right opportunity to bring in a particular player, no matter their past, they're likely going to pursue it if that means a better chance of winning a championship.
312-981-7200. There's always teams that are more willing to take on problem cases. The Dallas Cowboys.
They love the drama.
They love the drama, and they also love, quote-unquote, giving second chances. New England has been a franchise that has taken guys on over and over again, believing that once they get around the Patriots culture, that they're going to be capable of changing.
And that's worked, though.
And it has.
Save for Aaron Hernandez.
exactly, who ends up in jail, and then
mass murder.
See, the other thing is, I don't think, everybody worries about the PR hit, right? I mean,
people forget about it
in 5 seconds.
Right.
I mean, what is the PR hit for the New England Patriots? Nothing. Everybody watches the Patriots play. They sell out their games. They're considered.
They win Super Bowls.
And they're considered on some level an exemplary NFL franchise. Not only do they take on guys who perhaps don't deserve a second chance, but they out and out cheat and have been caught and have been fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. And yet, plenty of people, there's no lack of people buying Patriots gear. And they're also good for the NFL from a standpoint that a lot of people love to hate the Patriots.
It's true.
Present company included.
708 says the reality is winning is everything.
And I was not on board with Aroldis Chapman.
I think I was sitting here with you doing the show, like, or maybe the day that that all happened, or right around it. And you were not feeling it, Connor.
I think the Cubs would have. They had a great chance to win without Aroldis.
They needed him.
Well, he certainly was enormous in Game 5, getting 7 outs from the 7th inning on. So I don't know if they would have won. Gleyber Torres, by the way, looks like he's going to be a stud, too, for the Yankees. But you tell me, at the time, would I have made the Chapman deal? I would have been more apt. Who else can I get? Who else is out there? Let me pay up for Andrew Miller. I would have been more excited. I would have given up more to get Miller on the principle of Chapman.
You look at what Miller did in the postseason. He might have been a better asset to Joe Maddon, given that flexibility where you saw what Chapman didn't like coming in early and in these weird situations where it wasn't just a ninth inning save. Miller would have been a much better option for that bullpen.
It would have been more expensive.
You could have done a lot of different things with Miller.
Right.
You could have brought him in whenever you wanted with no issues. You still could have had Rondon in the back end, things like that, or whoever. But it's a predicament. I understand why some people are despise teams that do bring guys like this in. But the other end of the spectrum, and the reality is that it's winning and it's championships.
And if they do everything off the field to, you know, you're not punished for life for these crimes. And so if they do everything off the field that they're supposed to do and show real contrition, I on some level, I give teams, I don't know if it's a gold star or applause or whatever, for taking the PR hit and believing in a guy and saying, hey, this dude made a mistake, but we believe that he deserves a second chance. Somebody that repeatedly shows that they don't learn, Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy was I was just going to say that.
Then you're a disgraceful organization, and you don't care at all about society, and all you care about is winning, and that's gross. And I love to win, by the way. I think I hate to lose more than I love to win.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
We talked about that in your football career. Powell after high school football.
Yeah, that was ugly.
All right, so when you're watching, if you're watching football tomorrow night, you're watching Kansas City and number 10 is running down the field going wild, you know a little bit more of the whole story of Tyreek Hill.
But he's a good football player, right, Carm? So he's still in the National Football League.
Yeah, and he's going to be there for a long time if he keeps on producing the way he did.
And if he stays out of trouble off the field.
After 5 o'clock, we're going to have some fun. Mascots causing issues. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday.
A quick little nugget from convention today. CJ Edwards was asked what his favorite nickname is that people have for him. And I hadn't heard this before. The string bean slinger. I love it. That needs to stick.
I mean, he weighs about
lanky guy.
130 pounds.
The string bean slinger. Also, a couple errors by Jim DeShays, your TV analyst.
What did DeShays do?
So, as the pitcher forum, there was a Kyle Hendricks up there, a Wade Davis, a CJ Edwards, and a Mike Montgomery up there. And it's in a big, giant banquet hall. You were there last night. And fans can go up to the mic and ask a question.
Okay.
And they're kind of far from the players because it's sort of like in the middle area. And DeShays goes, what's your name, young lady? State your name, young lady. And the fan goes, well, I'm a boy. Well, it's a little boy. Okay, so there's a air.
That's rough.
E. DeShays. Next up, he starts talking to Wade Davis.
Okay.
And he goes, Wade, talk about why you decided to sign with the Cubs this offseason. And you just felt the tension in the room, and Davis is like, and he's like, oh, my bad, that's right, we traded for you.
Wow.
Couple of big errors from DeShays, couple of big swings and misses.
JD. He hasn't been paying real close attention to the ball club in the offseason.
Quality
Jimmy
slip up from JD.
These things happen.
Chicago Sports, spoken here, the beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Five o'clock hour, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great afternoon. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carmen with you till 7. Blackhawks hockey on this station tomorrow.
Big game tomorrow.
Big game tomorrow. Last night, very rough for the Hawks. 6-0 they lose to the Capitals. As Washington's playing great hockey, they've won 8 in a row. The Blackhawks have
worst loss for the Hawks in 6 years. 5.5 years or so.
Yeah,
murdered.
They had one goal disallow that maybe would have slightly brought them into the old game, but that's the best we can do on last night. You move on, and then, I'm sure
they'll be all right. They're in first place. Big game against the Wild, who are right behind them in the division.
Nipping on the old heels. 5:30 our pregame tomorrow night. 6 o'clock puck drop right here, 720.
And by the way, the Blackhawks just coming across the wire. We have a bulletin, Mark Harmon, from the Chicago Blackhawks. They've recalled Nick Schmaltz from the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Schmaltzy back in the fold for tomorrow?
Remember, Schmaltz started the season with the Hawks. He's a rookie. They sent him down to Rockford about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago or so. So he's got some playing time down there, but they've recalled him from Rockford, Nick Schmaltz.
All right, so major mascot drama.
Major drama, and I am so offended by this, Mark Harmon.
So this is up in Minnesota, and we're going to have to bring you the audio right now. The Wolves mascot, Nordy.
Nordy
had a baseball bat in his hand. Tommy Hawk was on the ice.
Classic Tommy Hawk.
And this is what happened.
One swing. Go ahead, Nordy. Nordy, you hit the pinata. Keep swinging.
The pinata's the Blackhawk. The Blackhawk is down.
Tommy Hawk.
Nordy, you almost broke it open. It's open. Put your hands together for birthday boy Nordy. Happy birthday, buddy. Tommy, that's what happens when you shove a cake in somebody's face.
So a little.
Get him to medics.
So first of all,
little light laughter. Hang on. Oh, okay. And then, so now he's like skating up to the crowd. Nordy is like looking for reaction. Everyone's just
right,
like
they're
looking
dragging out. Tommy Hawk off the ice. Two other mascots. First of all, horrible bit. horribly done by the mascots and the whatever guy you want to call for the Wild, whatever, the PA guy.
It's such a good gig. I've always wanted to be a mascot
really?
PA guy.
I never wanted that. Because you got to like, you're basically an actor. I mean, some people are really into it and they're good at it. Anyways, the gist of it is one mascot beat up another mascot with a baseball bat. And that sounds maybe a little violent. On paper, it sounds pretty violent too. When you watch this video, it's four cartoons on the ice messing around, beating up on each other. Horribly performed bit overall. But the reason we're talking about it is because people are offended.
Well, Chris Cook has a piece in the Tribune on it. And he writes that, he writes, the intermission skit apparently started when longtime Blackhawks mascot Tommy Hawk shoved birthday cake into Nordy's face. Soon after, the mascots went to center ice. Nordy donned a blindfold while Tommy Hawk held a pinata. Predictably, the first swing of the bat missed the pinata, landed in the midsection of the Hawks mascot. Pretty standard stuff for mascot interaction. Then, Cook says, my first thought when seeing the video posted on the Wild's official Twitter account, 539,000 followers, was that I'm glad I wasn't in the stands with my young son having to explain why his favorite mascot was just apparently beaten with a baseball bat. Which, by the way, I'm sure there are some kids out there who would not like to see. I mean, when I was a young Mark Carmen, even today, I don't know if I'd want to see Benny the Bull get his ass kicked. Excuse me. His rear end kicked.
You can say that.
I just want to be more. Don't need to use that word. No need for it. So, although, as Benny the Bull's gotten a little more arrogant over time, I sort of wanted Benny Bull to have his moment in time where there was some mascot justice. But
were you offended by this?
I just think it was incredibly dumb.
I'm just offended at how bad the bit is. But in terms of inciting violence, I mean,
are we
come on, you got to understand, these are mascots on the ice.
We getting too sensitive out here, team? Does anybody have a problem with mascots?
Anybody else offended that a mascot beat up another mascot at intermission at a hockey game with a baseball bat?
Mascot on mascot violence.
312-981-7200.
Do we have to have an intervention? Do we need to call the Minnesota Wild? Do the Wild actually owe the Chicago Blackhawks a formal apology? Because Tommy Hawk, he didn't mean anything by throwing cake in Norty's face. It was just
some playful mascot fun.
It's just good, clean fun by Tommy Hawk. But Norty...
Norty took it a bit too far.
Norty had to get the baseball bat out.
So I'm not a father. I don't have a son. But if you had a son with you, and let's say they're 7, 8, 9, 10, and you saw a mascot playfully put some cake in another mascot's face, and then that mascot playfully beat up the other mascot with a baseball bat, would you be offended as a parent? How would you handle the situation with your child?
I mean, I would think that if I was the Minnesota Wild, right, and I was in charge of game day operations, and somebody came to me with a bit, hey, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna give Norty the mascot. We're gonna give him a baseball bat, and he's gonna take a shot to the gut of Tommy Hawk. And then he's gonna repeatedly hit him, and then we're gonna drag Tommy Hawk off the ice. And then everybody's going to laugh and think it's hysterical. That would not be my play if I was Minnesota Wild game operations. I would think that we could come up with something better, personally.
I agree.
I mean, I think a mascot race, perhaps.
So,
you know, the old, maybe a...
The sausage race.
Right.
Now, would you be offended if the kielbasa kicked the Italian sausage during the race? Or maybe tripped the bratwurst?
Well, and see...
Would you be offended, and how would you explain that to your make-believe child?
I would want
the one sausage was beating up the other sausage. How could you possibly explain that two encased meats were fighting and inciting violence in the stadium? How could you explain that to your child?
Well, it's, you know, shockingly, Kevin, I actually do have experience with this. You may not know, but I did radio in Kansas City.
I know that,
and I was given the rare opportunity. They have the hot dog race in KC.
That's huge.
So there's the hot dog, there's mustard, and there's relish.
Big time.
So I went out there as mustard.
Wow.
Okay, right field corner. You got to sprint to home plate. I'm in my mustard outfit, man.
That's tough. I'm a little sweaty. Kansas City gets humid and hot.
Right, middle of the summer.
That's tough.
A little bit, you know, southern from here. Warm day, we're underneath the bowels of Kauffman Stadium. I'm putting on the gear. You got gloves and all sorts of stuff. I'm sweating. They get us out there, and I'm competing against, I think, a random fan and one other guy from the station, good old Sean Sharif, who now does mornings in Dallas. So, and I know that I'm faster than Sean Sharif.
Yeah.
So we come out, and we're in a battle, man. I mean, it is a dead sprint. I am winning this race. And he all of a sudden like catches up to me. And so we're neck and neck. And at the end of the race, he legit, this is a true story, by the way, he dives for, in essence, the goal line.
Wow.
Completely dirties up and ruins the mascot outfit to the point that the Royals were like, you're suspended. You'll never, ever be back and allowed to do this. Like, they were pissed. Like, this thing has to go to the dry cleaners. That's right. Like $300 to clean. I can't believe you dove.
The Royals can afford it.
But so he was awarded the winner.
Wow. Controversy.
And so what happened was, because there's no way, I know I'm faster than Sean Shreve. I'm like, how in the world did I just lose that race? And he's like, dude.
PEDs?
Basically, he cheated because you had boots on.
Oh.
And what he did, and he did research on this on Twitter, how do I win this race? Fans told him to kick off the shoes.
Wow.
So he was running barefoot and I was running with the shoes on.
Well, now his sausage racing career is tainted knowing that he cheated. He's not getting my vote for the Hall of Fame knowing he's a cheater, Carm.
Should we get him?
Put an asterisk next to his name if he goes into the Hall of Fame. I'm offended. This all stems from our mascot talk, the violence that occurred at the Minnesota Wild game when one mascot beat up Tommy Hawk with a baseball bat in a part of a bit. 815 says, yes, there needs to be an apology. Violence is not something to glorify. This could escalate, Carm. There needs to be an apology from the Wild.
Okay, let's get Darren in here. 312-981-7200. Don't mean to make light of the situation. If people think that this
I was sort of making light of it, but apparently people are offended if mascots pretend beating up each other.
Darren, welcome to 720 WGN. What do you think about this? The shenanigans going up in Minnesota?
It's mascots. You know, Tom and Jerry did it for years. If a parent is offended, it only means that now he has to spend time in parents and explain that this is not how you do it, you know.
I love how you put that, Darren.
Nice excuse. Yeah.
Well, hold on a second here, Darren. When you were growing up, you watched Tom and Jerry?
Yes.
And how did you, from watching Tom and Jerry, did you go to school and perhaps cause some violence that shouldn't have been going on the playground?
No, it was a cartoon. I also rode my bike without a helmet.
Whoa,
and played with fireworks, and I have all my fingers.
I don't know about the firework thing. Fireworks scare me.
Darren, appreciate the input. Thank you. The 815.
Darren's not concerned.
All righty, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Darren.
Darren does not seem concerned to me. 815 says, guys, it's not like he scalped him or anything like that. Let's see.
I don't know. A baseball bat to the midsection, that's not exactly...
312 says, this mascot segment needs to go into the Museum of Broadcast History.
I mean, we're bringing real stuff right now. If Chris Cook wants, and I love Chris Cook, and he does a phenomenal job covering the Blackhawks, covering the Bulls, and has been a longtime Tribune guy, and is a phenomenal guy to deal with. So if Chris Cook feels the need to write about this, I actually do want to know what people think. First of all, the bit was horrendous. It just wasn't funny. But I actually want to get Sean Sharif on the line. I want a formal apology in the next segment for cheating.
That's huge.
Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that, Carm.
Text him right now. Will you come on and finally apologize? Can you come on next segment? I mean, the dude flat out cheated. I was mustered. I should have been a champion, and I'll forever not be.
Texting on the air is phenomenal, Carm, by the way. We should do that for the next hour and a half.
Can you come on next segment to apologize for your mascot
behavior? Poor behavior. Cheating, really.
I'm going debauchery.
386 says, have we really gotten to this point in our society where we can't laugh a little slapstick? Really, people, get over it. I mean, that's where I'm leaning towards, 386. These are mascots dressed up in mascot gear. They have playfully beating up on each other.
Mike sees a real issue. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Hey, what do you say, Carm? Hey, you know, I mean, mascots fighting. I mean, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a hockey game that's going to break out?
It's a great point, Mike. A lot of violence in the game. Some people want violence out of hockey, and now they're bringing it to the mascot realm. This isn't good for the sport.
I mean, talk about CTE getting spread among your mascots.
I know. That's right. The last thing we need.
I mean, Tommy Hawk was dragged off the ice.
No, we don't need that. I mean, the liability on the owner's part is going to be tremendous.
Right.
Lawsuits on their hands. It's a great point, Mike.
Mike, were you thinking about being a mascot now, seeing what happened to Tommy Hawk? You're rethinking your life?
I hadn't gone in that direction at all.
But now that you think about it though, Mike, you might not be the mascot even if you were thinking about being a mascot. If you had thought about being a mascot, now you wouldn't think about being a mascot, right?
I've taken too many hits to the head already. I don't need to take any more.
You sound great, Mike. I think you got all your faculties. Thank you, Mike.
That's good. Thank you.
Have a great night. Guys. Appreciate it. Mike's getting the spirit here. I like it.
815, I saw it on the news last night and thought it was sick. There's no way even in jest that a team should promote violence.
Mm-hmm.
847 also says, mascots are there for entertainment. The Three Stooges had attacked and they were for entertainment. It was all for entertainment purposes. Nobody got hurt. 773, what a sensitive world all of you live in. It's sad and pathetic. All I have to say is bring back the Three Stooges. Enjoying the show, guys. A lot of Three Stooges love out there.
312-981-7200.
Again, we're talking about mascots pretend beating up each other. And some people think it's wrong that they made light of violence between mascots on a hockey rink at intermission.
Frank.
For fun.
Frank, welcome to WGN, tackling the big issues.
Evening.
Yes, Frank.
You know, I watched the Three Stooges when I was younger. The Three Stooges provided entertainment. The reason why professional teams have mascots is to provide entertainment for people, to make them smile, then to make them chuckle. When we were younger, we all knew the Three Stooges was a comedy act, but we never went onto the playground and violently hit each other in the head with an open fist.
Donnie Mao did. He crushed me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Frank. I'm sorry.
It's all comedy. It's all entertainment purposes. So for people to really be offended just like everything else in the world. It's just ridiculous. There's other things in life to be more concerned about, to waste energy on two mascots beating each other up on the ice.
Like,
it's for entertainment purposes.
Like what, Frank? Name one more thing in life that's more important than this.
Education.
There you go, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right.
Got you.
Here's the 708's thoughts. If parents are going to get offended by that, then they shouldn't have taken them to a hockey game where two guys are ready to turn around and fight each other over some exchanged words. But I do agree that if I was the operation person, I would not have let that fly and told him to think of something else. He has a poor, poor bit. Are you offended by the fact that mascots beat up each other?
312-981-7200. Tommy Hawk took a beating. Steve, welcome to 720 WGN.
Well, hello, guys. Hey, if I'm fighting for my country, I'm going to be fighting somebody else. Now, if I'm fighting for my team, I'm going to be fighting for my team. Tommy Hawk is great. It's all fun and games. Don't get offended by it.
Steve, are you a father?
Yes, I am.
If you were with, how old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
27 and 25.
Okay, so at this point, you wouldn't likely have to explain to them the situation, the scenario going on the ice rink. Let's say they were younger. Let's say they were 7, 8, 9, and they were with you at the hockey game, and that was going on at intermission. Would you have to sit them down and talk to them and give them a couple life lessons to make sure they didn't take the mascot violence literally?
No, not really, because I raised them right, and we defend ourselves, that type of thing, but it's just like, it's all fun and games, because they're joking around.
Right.
Your lovers, not fighters in the Steve family. Only when need be will you ever do anything physical, right, Steve?
That's it.
Love you, Steve. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Thank you, 312-981-7200. I mean, my experience growing up at stadiums, there was never a mascot issue, but there was always lunatics, right? I mean, I remember sitting in the center field bleachers the whole game, the dude's yelling at Bobby Dernier. Dernier, you stink. How are you going to feel when you pick up your paycheck, Bobby? How are you going to feel when you pick up your paycheck, Bobby? Papa Fred turned around and finally was like, will you shut up? Will you sit down? And then Dave Corzine was always booed, always booed. Corzine, you stink. Corzine, you stink. Corzine, you stink. Guy behind us. Papa Fred turns around. Okay. He stinks. He stinks.
Can we relax?
We got it.
779 says, so fake violence is not wanted in hockey, but all those real fights that are glorified in hockey are okay, let alone sports like MMA and wrestling that have plenty of young fans aren't being whined about on the radio.
Wait, read that again. I'm sorry. I was thinking about how much, I was thinking about how great it was that the Carmen fan was willing to acknowledge that Dave Corzine did stink. We just didn't want to hear about it anymore.
Dave Corzine was a Hershey Husky, by the way.
Great to Paul Blue Demon. Could hit the jumper.
So fake violence is not wanted in hockey, ? But all those real fights that are glorified in hockey are okay, let alone sports like MMA and wrestling that have plenty of young fans aren't being whined about on the radio.
Right, but see, at least MMA and wrestling, like, that's what they do.
Yeah, like, you're not exactly anticipating that at a hockey rink. But, yeah, I would, to a much larger point, the things that go on in stands now, like, even I'm uncomfortable as a 27, like, some drunk dudes in stands are just way over the line.
Right.
That bothers me a lot more than fake violence between mascots on an ice rink.
Right. Well, that's why alcohol is...
Some people prefer to be offended easily. Some are not.
I think we did a great job with this topic.
Me too, Carl.
312-981-7200. Quick timeout. Before that, though, with your support, Chicago Tribune Charities is helping to transform the lives of those in need across Chicagoland. Give now at www.chicagotribune.com/donate. News is next, and then after 5:30, what's on the rundown, Kevin Powell? What do I got in here? Oh, yeah. Bo Jackson. Big Bo with some big-time comments. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. With you till 7 o'clock tonight. We got a lot left on the show. Carrie and Sarah Wood talked with them yesterday. Israel Adonijé. Dan, if you can pull up that interview. And in the back half of it, as I do production on the air here, there's the comments on Bo Jackson. So Bo Jackson. I love Bo. One of the most entertaining athletes you've ever watch play baseball, watch play football, right?
ESPN's 30 for 30 on him. Phenomenal. Yeah.
Yes.
That's all I have for you, Carm. I know. You can proceed on your introduction to the segment.
I thought you were going deeper. Okay. So, Bo Jackson, let me, I want to read you the exact quote from Bo, who, he's talking about CTE risk and people being able to think, right? And so this is his comment. If I knew back then what I know now, Jackson talking to USA Today Sports, I would never have played football. Never.
Real quick, though, do you think if Tommy Hawk knew what he knows now about concussions, he still would have been a mascot?
I don't know. Well, Tommy Hawk wasn't hit in the head. He was hit in the stomach.
That's true.
So there's
sorry
that.
To interrupt you again.
Okay. I wish I had known about all of those head injuries, but no one knew that. And the people that did know that, they wouldn't tell anybody.
He's right.
The game has gotten so violent, so rough. We're much more educated on the CTE stuff. There's no way I would ever allow my kids to play football today, Bo Jackson.
I don't blame him. The only comment where he says the game has gotten so violent, so rough, isn't it? I mean, I guess the only thing different now is the athletes are bigger, faster, stronger, so the hits seem more vicious. Wasn't the game a whole lot more violent and rough back when he was playing?
Sure.
When Dick Butkus was playing?
I mean,
I'm not justifying anything. I was just a little surprised by that statement because most former players will tell you how nasty the game was back when the rules were a little bit different. But
by the way, Chris Cook's going to join us to talk mascots at 5:50.
Perfect.
Love Chris Cook. So, yeah, I think of course the game was more violent back then. I mean,
that's the only comment I didn't really understand. That's just sort of a side note to his overall message, but I was a little surprised he said that. It's interesting when you hear players say this. You wonder if when they're younger, they're 20 years old, 21, they look at all those dollar signs and kids now know what, and they've heard how many former players say this and kids are still entering the NFL.
Well, so this is the thing, right? I believe Bo Jackson. I don't think he would have played football because Bo Jackson is one of the rare athletes out there.
Could hit a baseball 450 yeah, feet over the fence.
Exactly. Maybe the only athlete out there who, if he had just played baseball, he would have made all the money and maybe more than he would have made in the NFL and would have played for longer. And likely
healthier for the rest of his life. I mean, not just with the brain, but everything else as well.
Right. And probably would have ended up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, the dude's throwing out guys from the warning track, and he's hitting 500-foot home runs. I mean, this is a freak athlete. So for him, I agree. If he had known, hey, Bo, look, man, you might not be able to think if you play this sport, or you won't think as well at least, and you're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to have an artificial hip, and things are going to hurt. By the way, you're going to be a phenomenal baseball player, and you have a great chance of ending up in Cooperstown. If that was all laid out to him, I think it's pretty clear that he would have made that decision. Now, on the other hand, like let's go back in time and be honest about it. It's not like he didn't know that football was dangerous.
Right, but he had nothing along the lines of what we know now in terms of...
See, I don't... Okay, the CTE stuff and guys taking their own lives...
And the NFL covering up things they knew and how dangerous it was to have these head-to-head collisions over and over and over and over again.
Right, that's all new. But... You know, whenever this
but nobody knew to the extent. Nobody was like, well, yeah, we know it's probably not good to bash our heads together, but do I know that 20, 30 years from now I'm going to be locked in my bedroom because I'm bipolar and I'm dealing with severe depression because of all those hits I took to the head?
Well, okay, you played high school football.
Yeah.
Would you go back and do it again? You going to play high school football?
I mean, that's the thing. Right now, who knows if something affected me. I mean, I played my whole life, but only until I was 18. I wouldn't change anything right now, but that could change if I get some bad news in certain areas. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I guess that's just me being young and dumb.
I
would say this. Even if I have a son, I don't want him playing football.
Okay, but here's the thing. People like to do dangerous things. They jump out of airplanes.
I loved football. Growing up, I wanted to play because I wanted to put pads on. I wanted to hit people.
Right.
I loved the violence of the game.
And certain people have that personality where they want to throw on pads and hit people. It's fun.
It was very fun.
Jump out of plane. Water ski, downhill ski, bungee jumping, drive faster than you should drive, drink more than you should drink. Do anything that's reckless because there is an adrenaline rush there. That's not going to end. People are going to put their lives in danger for the rush, for the fun. So this whole, like, there's this whole attack going on football that I'm telling you, the sport's going to go away. The sport's going to go away. No, it isn't. I just don't believe that. I think less and less kids will play. Maybe maybe the pool won't be as large, but the sport is always going to be the sport, and there are going to be people that will play it in droves. And college football, the whole concept that football is going away, and more guys like Bo Jackson making these statements, I like to just throw a little reality check. It ain't going anywhere.
I think participation will go down a lot, and it already has recently. But I think what will change mostly is likely no more park district youth type stuff. It'll be mostly private because these park districts and liability. High schools, they don't want lawsuits and things like that. And it's a lot of those things are going to have to change. And in the NFL as well. I mean, how many lawsuits do they have on their hands? Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of lawsuits.
Well, and they had the whole $785 billion lawsuit settlement with the former NFL players a couple of years back now, which was, I think, a win for the NFL that they were able to get out from under. But you talk to old school guys, Hamp, OB, Kaz. If they could go back and do it again, play football, absolutely. They're going back and they're playing football. I mean,
right?
Because you know why? Because it was great fun. Because they had the time of their lives. Because they ran out on the field for the Chicago Bears.
They made a lot of money.
And they made a lot of money, although if they played now, they would make about 10 times more.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's terrible stories out there left and right. There was a story this week about a high school kid who took his own life from CTE. Painful, painful, painful stuff to read. Did you see that?
I did not see that story, Carl.
I should have brought that to you. Hang on. It's not a singular story. A lot of kids. Hang on, I'm pulling it up here, Paul. When you read the stuff, it is.
It's horrible. The kid at CT, he was depressed, I'm sure. The story we've heard over and over again, and people living horrible lives with essentially brain damage.
Right. I don't know. We've had this conversation over and over again, but it's interesting that somebody as prominent and somebody who also played in the city for the White Sox and Bo Jackson's talking about it. 312-981-7200. You're going to tell your kid not to play the sport. I mean, I bring up my dad all the time, Papa Fred, 91. His parents didn't want him to play football. Well, he was a teenager in 1940-whatever, okay? I mean, he graduated
high school. We're talking leather helmets here?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about graduating high school in 43.
Wow.
Grandpa Alex, Grandpa Mary, they didn't want son Fred playing because the game was dangerous. That was then.
Did he still play?
Yeah, he played, and then he went to Western Illinois and
Leathernecks. Look up the Leatherneck.
Look up number 26. Two picks his first game.
Wow, huge.
A little linebacker, a little quarterback. Best athlete in the family. Outside of my brother, played number one singles for the University of Chicago.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, D3. But that's what he would say. But yes, Bruce Carman, phenomenal tennis player.
Take him?
No. A little bit, but not really, no. He beats me more than I beat him. And he's what now? 58? I'm 43, still can't beat him. Maybe when he gets to be like 72, I'll get him.
Yeah, but he's still in good shape?
Now I'm officially depressed. No, he's not in good shape. He still beats me, though. Just, you know, tennis, you don't
have older brother syndrome type thing?
I think there's some of that going on.
Yeah, there's some going on.
You know, there's a little
mental psyche. I could never let my younger brother beat me in anything. Like when we golf with each other now, he beat me on the last time I was playing with him. He beat me on the front nine. He's talking trash, burying him in the back nine.
Just got all up in his head.
Oh, yeah. Beat him by like 10 strokes on the back nine.
What's your younger brother's name?
Ryan.
So you were like, Ryan, you're done?
Well, I call him Mad Dog. I'm like, you're done, Mad Dog.
And then Paul just got the steely look on his face?
Not so much. I just know. Like, I think he knew in his head, too. He's like, all right, I've been playing a lot longer than he has.
Okay.
He sort of knew. And then once you think about that in your head, you're done. That's when I bury you, Mad Dog. Yeah. Beat you by 10 strokes on the back nine.
Do you even believe Bo Jackson, rewinding back to it, that he wouldn't have played? Like, hey, Bo.
Because, as you mentioned, he had the baseball. I don't think anybody was warning players of the brain damage that could occur from the game, other than, you're going to get your bell rung, now get back in there. How many fingers am I holding up?
708 texting in here. Can you beat your brother in a fist fight if you were wearing mascot uniforms? That's funny. Hey, we're gonna speaking of that, we're gonna bring our friend Chris Cook on the program next year. Talk about his piece on the mascots. Have some fun. 720 WGN. Little Tom Petty for you on a Saturday afternoon. Hitting all the hard topics today. Chris Cook, Chicago Tribune, one of my favorite writers, delving into NHL violence on the mascot level. Chris, were we fair? Do we have fun at your expense? Because if we did, I want to issue an apology not only for myself and Kevin Fowle, but from all of WGN.
I'm breaking this mascot thing wide open. Listen, I didn't catch the beginning of it. Sorry, but it's funny. You turn on the radio and there you guys are talking about it. You know, it's silly. And boy, I've taken a hammering on Twitter. I've also gotten a lot of people saying I'm right and praising me. So that, which is odd. I usually don't get that, but certainly it's silly, but I just want to make one thing clear. I was not offended. I think my piece was more about I'm literally sitting on my couch. I think I was watching the Bulls get hammered. I think that's what it was. And I see this tweet come over from the Minnesota Wild. And next thing I know, I see a mascot, not just mascot play, lifting a bat over his head and pummeling another mascot down. It has nothing to do with Tommy Hawk. I don't, you know, people, I get this from a lot of the Wild fans. Oh, if it wasn't the Blackhawks mascot, you wouldn't care. I don't care about the Blackhawks mascot. I don't care if the Blackhawks win or lose hockey games. I just don't want them to go overtime.
as a
writer on deadline. Right. So when I saw that, I just thought, but boy, that just seems a little over the top. And then, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 blows, and then they're dragging him off. And I'm thinking, if I was there with my son, and he likes Tommy Hawk, I saw them having this conversation about why they're dragging off, his favorite mascot. And, certainly I could have that conversation. I've had kind of worse conversations with them or harder, more difficult conversations with them. But if I'm a hockey game, I shouldn't expect to be having that conversation. I guess that's my point. And I get everybody's point about, there's fighting in hockey, and I've had that conversation with them as well, my son. But, just to me, it seemed over the top. But I personally wasn't offended. I just thought that if you're the NHL and you're trying to eradicate violence from the game, and whether doing that the right way or not is, you can be judged at this point. I can't imagine that they would look at that and say, boy, that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, first of all, Chris, you're not alone, because we've gotten people texting and calling in that from opposite sides of the spectrum. Some people are towards your opinion of things. Other people were completely opposite. But have you heard from the and I agree. It was a horrible bit to start with. I mean, it was just horribly pulled off by everybody involved in that situation. So that's what I think is the biggest issue. But have you heard from the Hawks or the Wild or the league or anything on the bit and your comments on it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I actually talked to someone at the Hawks. I talked to the league. I emailed with the league and email it to the Wild. No one really specifically came out and said you're a moron, other than a lot of Wild fans and some other hockey fans. But specifically about what I wrote, I've not heard, one way or another. It's difficult for them to come back and fire off of me, because it's just my opinion. I mean, that was an opinion piece. I don't write that many columns.
Right.
I'm more of a feature writer these days, and I still cover a lot of games. But it's my opinion. They can't come in and say, well, your opinion, they could say you're wrong, but they can't say you can't have that opinion. So that's where it was. It's a little bit silly, but I think that, the vitriol you get from people is over the top. I didn't need my family threatened. I didn't need that at some point on Twitter. And, I've been called a million names. I don't mind that. But when people are calling my son names on Twitter, and saying, it's just odd that people would react this strongly to it.
Hold on a second.
People are coming at you and your family about this. So if they were criticizing you for being
once something is in paper, man, or on the internet or whatever, it just takes a whole nother level, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was mostly Wild fan, or I shouldn't say it's mostly people from Minnesota. I'd say 90% of the bad tweets and emails I got, I look at their profile, they're from Minnesota. And there's this rivalry that they think the Hawks have with them. Hawks really don't care that much about the Wild. I got news for you. But they're trying to build this rivalry up. And so they're trying to, they're associating with what I wrote about, Tommy Hawk, so I must be upset it was Tommy Hawk. I really didn't care. I guess that optic of someone getting, even if they're wearing a a costume being pummeled to the point where he's being dragged off in this day and age. Just, I didn't think it was necessary, and that's kind of what I was trying to write.
Well, and Wild fans, when you watch the video, it's not like they're sitting there cheering at how great this mascot. Right. I mean, it was basically dead silent in there.
Right. I zoomed in as much as I could in the video because I didn't want to say it was well received or wasn't. There's literally people just standing there watching this thing. I mean, you know, I've seen, boy, as an NHL reporter and an NBA, I've seen a lot of mascot hijinks, and very little of it's fun. I'm no longer 5 or 6, 7 years old, but it just seems to me that a lot of it's forced, and there's just a different way they could have done it. But yeah, it wasn't like they were going crazy over this bit. I guess it just seems like it was over the top. I wanted to make that point. I respect people's opinions. I'm not sure about the personal attacks, but I guess that's what comes when you write a column.
Well, okay. Now you're actually taking me to an area where I'm going to sound like the old man, get off my lawn. But when I'm at the Bulls game, and Benny the Bull is coming down from wherever he's coming from with his huge bag of popcorn, and he's gonna dump it on, you know, 100 spectators, and then he's gonna beat up, you know, I don't know, somebody dressed up as somebody wearing a Boston Celtics jersey and like dump a Pepsi on him. I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would you want that in your stadium? Like, first of all, like when they're doing the popcorn, I'm assuming that those people are not staged. They're actually, you know, just regular fans who now have popcorn all over them. If that was me, I wouldn't want that. And then, you know, why would you want that? That doesn't make any sense. And then to sit there and willingly like beat up the guy in the Celtics jersey, do you really want your stadium to be somewhere where an opposing fan can't feel comfortable? Are you paying attention to what's going on in California with the Dodgers and the Giants and the whole thing? I mean, I don't know if you had the same reaction to that.
Well, what's interesting about the popcorn bit at the Bulls game, that's actually a sponsored bit. So if somebody sponsors that popcorn thing flying all over the place. I did a story a while back on the game presentation and was kind of surprised to hear that. But, yeah, you're right. If I'm there, and we are yelling at clouds, I think, at this point. But I probably don't want stuff spilled all over me, you know. But I think the kids wouldn't mind it. You know, again, it's just this – it's just – to me, it was just this dichotomy between the NHL, like, we're trying to be family atmosphere. We're trying to get that violence out of the game. And it wasn't just the swing. I mean, certainly, if you hit him the first time, I thought, oh, that's interesting. It was the 6, 7, 8, 9 blows as he's laying there and then dragging him off. And I'm thinking, what if my son's like, why did they just kill a guy? You know, why did they just kill Tommy Hawk? That was the only thing I was thinking about, and that's what I was trying to get across. But, yeah, you know, I mean, certainly things can be addressed and should be addressed in hockey and in sports before mascots fighting. But to me, it's something that struck me as I was sitting on my couch watching the Bulls game and looking at this thinking, I guess, why did that happen? Why did they have to go that far?
Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune, long time. I mean, you've covered hockey forever. Do you think, on a serious note, do you think they should get rid of fighting in the game? I don't think that's ever going to happen, but your opinion?
You know, I think there is a place for fighting in the game. I don't condone it, and I would have no issues at all if they got rid of it altogether. I mean, my favorite hockey that I've covered has been the Olympics, and there's very little fighting, if any at all, and it's just basically a game of skill. But I do think that if you do take out fighting, then people are going to take liberties with their sticks, and guys are going to get injured that way. But I have no issues with them trying to get rid of fighting. At the same time, I can see why guys, and you talk to the players, they don't want it eliminated from the game completely, because I think that they do realize the sticks are going to come up, guys are going to take liberties, and there's just no way to police it. You know, you can suspend guys, you know, 3-4 games. That doesn't seem to do it. But if you can take care of business on the ice and kind of police themselves, I think that's what needs to be done.
If you want to read Chris's piece on the mascot, hit up your Chicago Tribune. The headline is, Violent NHL Mascot Skit Delivers a Blow to League's Family-Friendly Image. It's worth a read, and please don't attack Chris on Twitter.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you coming on.
Chris,
thanks, guys.
Thanks for thanks for the topic. Appreciate you.
All right.
Chris Cook of your Chicago Tribune. Oh, man.
I'm glad he was listening.
I mean, whatever. I get it comes with the territory.
I will agree with his point in the that in terms that it's the league was contradicting themselves with stuff like that.
Right, and the league does have there. Listen, the league does want to be, as you put it, family friendly, and there has always been a long discussion about should there be fighting in the game, should there not be fighting in the game. You have to have it to enforce the game. I don't think you do. I think it should be just like, I mean, the NBA, okay, now I'm all over the place. There's there's part of the old school NBA, Bill Laimbeer, Detroit Pistons, Robert Parrish, Bulls Pistons, Bulls Knicks, that hardcore stuff that I like. And you hear NBA commentators like Jeff Van Gundy saying all the time, that's not a flagrant foul.
Right.
Like let there be some violence out there. But, you know, since the Malice in the Palace, Pacers, Pistons went into the stands, the league has made a very concerted effort to severely penalize anything where it's quote-unquote not basketball. They don't want it. And I miss some of the violence that's in the game. The NHL, if you got rid of – you don't have to get – you could – simply have, if you get in a fight, you get kicked out of the game. You can still have it, just like the NBA. If you throw a fist, you throw a punch, you're suspended. The NHL could make it that you're just kicked out, and you don't have to throw a suspension on top of it. They could do it like that just to deter it. I mean, what would be wrong with that?
Well, and even to the NFL point, they've taken a lot of hits out of the game by turning them into personal fouls and things like that. Look, I love football. I played it. I think I'm with a lot of fans that I wish we still had those big hits.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Now, as crazy as that sounds, it doesn't mean I want somebody to get hurt. But at the same time, that's the NFL's fault that it's come to this because of the denial they've been in over, again, to bring us full circle to our point with Bo Jackson, because of things they hid about CTE. And brain damage and things like that. And they've continued to kick the can down the road other than just admit to it, come out and come open about the head-to-head collisions and the effect they have on people. If they do that, then the NFL doesn't have to try to patch up these hits and patch up and try to make this game perfect and safe. It's never going to be a safe game. And the more they try to patch it up and add penalties here and there, it's damaging the quality of the game, and I think it's made it less enjoyable to watch.
Well, and here's a question, though, and I think it's people are, like, everyone says, I love the big hits. But when you, like, last week, when the Houston Texans are playing the Oakland Raiders, and instead of watching Derek Carr, quarterback, one of the great young quarterbacks in the game, you're forced to watch Connor Cook, a rookie fourth-round pick out of Michigan State who's going to go 11 for 30.
Right. Yeah,
the game's just not as fun to watch. Like, you want your quarterbacks out there. You want them healthy, so you do want them protected. Like, we watch the game more for that.
Yes.
I love the hit.
You need to protect your stars. I understand that.
So, but we really watch for Brady. We watch for...
It's true. You're right.
You know?
I'm with you there. I'm just saying, in general, I miss
but I'm with you too. Like,
style of play that the NFL was all about. And, look, it's weird in sports. You're watching a football game, you want to see a guy deliver a big hit, but you don't want to see anybody get hurt. When you're playing the sport, you want to deliver the big hit, but you don't want to hurt the guy necessarily. It's sort of a weird thing, and nobody ever wants to admit to one thing or the other, and that's why the league kicks the can down the road, and this is where they are now.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carmen. We were both out at Woody's Winter Extravaganza. What's the name of it again? Why do I have trouble remembering?
Woody's Winter Warm-Up.
Woody's Winter Warm-Up.
Celebrities were there, bartending. Anthony Rizzo was behind the bar. Ron Kittle. All the players were there. Jay Hay. Got your Joe Madden in there at Navy Pier. Harry Carey's.
It was the Navy Pier, Harry Carey's. Pete McMurray was out there.
Pete was there?
He was wearing he had the Cubs.
Something outrageous.
Cubs pants. It was aggressive Cub pant. He's got videos up on his Facebook page. You can check that out. Kevin and I were there working hard. Kevin was taking pictures.
Also, you sort of were holding down the interview fort. So I was like, you know what? You handle that. I'll go check out this free buffet.
And solid buffet.
Solid buffet. Nice little cheese bar, some olives, little Italian meat spread. Mm. Got some slider action. Had a little pizza. Stay away from the pizza, Carm. That's a lot of carbs and cheese.
Yeah, I crushed one slice of pizza.
So I went straight protein. Two. Couple beef kebabs.
Mm, so good. So Israel Adonijé, 11 years in the NFL, former Chicago Bear, of course, had a cup of coffee with the Lions as well. He was out there. Quick comment from Izzy on what we're talking about on playing in the NFL and the violence of the sport, and would he go back and do it again? Israel always very, very well thought out. This entire interview, by the way, available at WGNradio.com. All the interviews from last night are. So this is Izzy on whether he'd play football again.
Bo Jackson says yesterday or whatever this week, if I knew now back then, I wouldn't have played football. Now, Bo's good enough that he could have made millions playing baseball. Yeah. A guy like yourself, you know, you made your money in football, platform, the whole thing. How do you look at that?
You know, I'm thankful for the sport. I'm thankful for the game. And you know, at 21, I played a little reckless. You know, I hit a lot with my head. I was, you know, physical with my body. And I look back, I didn't take care of my body. Like, I wasn't in the ice bath every day. I didn't get massages. You know, at 33, 32, I was doing all that stuff. And you just realize that your body's not invincible. And that the game, not just the game on Sundays, but the preparation for the game, practices, you know, training camp, all that stuff beats you up so much that you know, I mean, we've seen over the last couple of years, guys, you know, calling it quits, you know, while they still got a lot of football left, or the perception of a lot of miles left, just because, you know what, they want to take care of their bodies. And when a certain level of damage is done, it's hard to come back from. You know, so for me, I'm thankful for the game. I'm thankful that I was able, after 11 years professionally, to walk away healthy. And, yeah, I'm banged up and I'm beat up. But every day, I think the key is to continue to, like, I'm still doing yoga. I'm still working out. I'm still stretching. You got to be proactive about your body and about your health more so now, because you've beat it up for so long. So, you know, but I understand where he's coming from, because there are a lot of guys, especially the old school guys, you know, they're dealing with different things. You know, I hear stories about being allowed to have water breaks, you know, and things like that. And you know, I still kind of saw a little bit of the old school. Like, we had two-a-days, you know, for 7 days straight. Young guys today, I mean, you don't even know what a two-a-day is, you know. So the game will continue to get better. And, you know, you just hope guys and the league really continue to make a real focus on taking care of health, and not on a superficial way, but really, you know, meaning that we're going to take care of these guys that really put their bodies and their minds on the line to entertain us, you know. So I get where he's coming from, and, you know, I'm thankful to walk away healthy.
So there you go, Israel Adonijé, always incredibly well thought out. Thoughts, Kevin Powell, two-a-days, water. That's how it used to be, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're not getting a drink right now. We're working.
Right, or, you know, you punish a team by not allowing them to go get a water break. I mean, two-a-days, three-a-days, that was going on for a while. That didn't change up until a few years ago. I mean, I think at all levels, really.
Right.
I mean, particularly, you know, from high school on, that was a staple. That was a two-week run in the summer where you get your two-a-days, maybe a three-a-days. Some crazy coaches do four-a-days. I mean, you do all that. Now it's a whole different thing, and with the new collective bargaining agreement in the NFL between the players and the owners, there's all new sorts of restrictions on how much you can practice and how much you can hit. And I think that's a good thing, though.
And I can hear the old schoolers, though, out there.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are so soft.
They're soft.
Mamby-pambies. Society's gone wrong. We're losing all of our bravado. All that's going on out there, right? I feel like that's definitely a huge part of the discussion. How do you balance doing the right thing for a kid, but also teaching them toughness and teaching them, don't be, you know, the whole participation trophies, like all of it's all blended into the conversation. So, all right, that was Izzy Adonijé last night. Again, the rest of that interview and his, how he got to his.
The guy's a monster, by the way.
He's a big dude.
Seen him up close.
He's such a good guy.
He could rip me in half.
Yes, he could. And he could actually rip us both in half at the same time. So, all right, let's do a little Carrie and Sarah Wood. Carrie, this is the third year of the Woody's winter warm-up, the sixth year of Woody's winter warm-up, all the who's who out there. So this was Carrie and Sarah Wood last night.
Carrie and Sarah Wood, who gets the honor of the brainchild of this whole thing?
You know what?
You
know what? Honestly, it was her idea to do it this time of year, because the Cubs are in town, all the players are in town. She's a thinker and a planner, so I got to give her all the credit on this, for sure.
So this is year six, and you see it all coming together. Are you satisfied with the beauty of the whole thing?
I mean, well, they kind of went and won the World Series. It kind of made it amazing. So we have our World Series champs here tonight, so we're excited about that. And I mean, the whole country's a Cub fan, so after the World Series, so it's pretty amazing.
What's it like for you just to see him when he's getting honored? He'll forever be beloved in this town.
Oh, I think to even be included on the buses and be a part of, you know, that whole week of games and having the Cubs want him around, I mean, it just shows that they don't see it as something that just happened this year. They see it as that, you know, hundreds of years or tens, decades of years that have gone by of other players that have tried to achieve the same thing. So it's pretty amazing. It's great.
Are you in better shape than your husband?
No, maybe. I'm just kidding.
I mean, you look like you don't miss a workout.
She's in great shape.
No, I don't. But we have to keep up with three little ones, so it keeps us busy.
I think one of my favorite moments back in the day was 03, and when they showed the crowd, and you're going crazy in Atlanta.
I'm naked in that moment. That's a very personal moment. No, during the playoffs when they were showing me on.
I said that one of my favorite memories going back was in 03 beating the Braves and going in the crowd and you're seeing the
Woody walked away, so I didn't redo it.
Yeah, stuff. And he heard naked and he got nervous.
Stuff. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, you live and die with every pitch when it's, you know, your family and your husband.
Never in a million years did I ever think I'd be on a split screen with my wife while I was playing.
No. I can't believe that either. That was tacky.
What was it like tonight to be up there, seeing everybody honored, the fans? I mean, you're forever beloved here.
It's great. It's always great to come back and see the fans and hear the responses to the old players. But, man, the new players, Wade Davis and John Jay and these young guys coming up. For them to walk out this year and hear the reaction the crowd gave this team this year was pretty special.
They gonna miss Dexter?
I think you're always gonna miss a guy like Dexter, not just what he does on the field, but what he brings to the team, what he brings to the clubhouse. So they're lucky over there, and they got a good guy in Dexter. But you know, we get a full season with hopefully with healthy Schwarber. So we haven't seen that yet. So I'm excited to see him hopefully step in and fill that role.
Does it feel different for you guys walking around the world champions, the whole vibe? I mean, there's 8 gazillion Cubs came back for this convention.
Yeah, I think if I had actually been on the team that won it, I'd feel a lot better. But it definitely helps sell my event out, so I feel great.
You paved the way, man. Kerry, well, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Love Kerry Wood.
There you
contributor
go.
To WGN Radio.
4:40 on the Rokan Show on what day? Figure that out for this year?
Normally Thursdays, but it rotates.
Okay. Love Kay Wood.
Phenomenal.
How about his wife feeling like she was naked in the crowd? Didn't like the fact that she was all over the screen going
well,
nuts for her husband.
I just found that funny. Not that she said that, but that after Kerry in the back, you know, he just sort of heard the word naked and she was talking to you and he was like, whoa, what's going on?
Right. Well,
that piqued his interest. And then it sounded like he turned around like, okay, what are you guys talking about?
Well, I started with both of them, and then somebody in the middle, right at the start of the interview, like grabbed Kerry away.
Oh,
and then so then he came back. So I was just you know, hanging out with Sarah, who I'd never talked to before.
She was good.
A lot of energy from Sarah Wood. Yeah. I enjoyed that. And as you said, jumping in there, like phenomenal shape. If Kerry Wood ran a race versus his wife,
she's in really good shape.
Sarah would take him down like.
Quality interviews, though, Carm. I wish I could have helped, but again, that free buffet was calling my name.
No, I got you. But hey,
was the open bar.
You almost brought me something, but it just didn't quite happen.
There was people. It was kind of awkward.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
I didn't want to spill the plate of beef kebabs all over some lady's dress.
Right.
I mean, everybody was pretty dressed up for this event.
Oh, yeah. No, they were good. They were coming strong.
It was a good time, though.
Did Kevin do me wrong by not bringing me food, or was he within his rights to just go out and have a kebab on his own? 312-981-7200. Hey, this week on Chicago's Best, get that sweet tooth ready because Brittany and Elliot, they're on a sugar high. It's all about sweet treats. Chicago's Best this Sunday night at 11 on WGN-TV. Bulls game going final at the United Center. I want to come back here and just point out where Carm was right. And I want you to agree with me, Kevin, but you don't have to. That's next, 720 WGN.
Jam.
720 WGN. Chicago Bulls, Kevin.
By the way, 815 chiming in. Yeah. Kevin should have brought you some food, Carm.
Thank you, 815. I mean, that's how I felt, but I didn't want to complain.
apologize.
I mean, you were working hard. Bulls 107, Pelicans 99. It's a final at the United Center. Jimmy Butler leads the team with 28, 9 of 16 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 7 of 10 at the foul line, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 39 minutes of action. Michael Carter-Williams, shockingly a decent game at the point guard, 5 for 12.
So you're not big on the Michael Carter-Williams train, huh?
I was. I liked it. He just hasn't been very good. Rajon Rondo got 19 minutes. Rajon Rondo got 19 minutes. I've always called him Rajon. Rajon Rondo, 19 minutes off the bench. 2 of 7, 6 points. Doug McDermott.
Dougie Fresh.
Now, when they picked Doug McDermott, Kevin Powell, do you remember?
Yeah, I do, because his final collegiate game, I believe it was his final game, I was the voice of the Redbirds for my student radio station, Carm.
I didn't know that.
Or this, I don't know if this was his last game. Anyways, the point is the Illinois State Redbirds were in the Missouri Valley Conference championship game against Creighton and Doug McDermott. So I saw a lot of Doug McDermott my final year in college.
What'd you think of Doug McDermott at that time?
I thought he had two parts to his game, which was a perimeter game where he could shoot the ball, but he also had some really good moves in the paint. Like he was really... He was great at finding soft spots and defenses and getting in the paint and catching the ball with his back to the net, turning around and making plays. So watching that, I'm like, okay, well, that's half his game's gone because Doug McDermott's not backing down big men in the NBA and catching the ball deep, you know, deep in the paint and turning around near the rim and making plays. So I'm like, okay, he's pretty much a perimeter guy. So this guy better get to the gym and just shoot a bunch of balls because he's just going to be a shooter.
Yeah,
and he really hasn't panned out. His game was split. He was a shooter, and he was a guy that could post – up in college. He can't post up in college or in the NBA. He hasn't done that.
So the Bulls had picks number 16 and picks number 19 the year they drafted McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what you're talking about in the post, I had the exact same thought. And he's hit the shot that you're talking about in the post like three times in his NBA career.
Yeah, it wasn't going to translate.
Right. So they gave up Jusuf Nurkić, who's now a starting front court player for the Denver Nuggets. That was your 16th overall pick.
Plus a good name.
Yeah, 9 points, nearly 7 rebounds a game, a PER, which is how you evaluate players.
Efficiency rating.
Yeah, player efficiency rating, 16.81. Now, big men tend to have a higher PER than guards. Of course, McDermott is almost a big man himself. They also gave up the number 19 overall pick, Gary Harris, who's averaging 13 points a game, 3 assists, PER of just under 16 as well. And then there's Doug McDermott, 9 points a game, nearly 10. 1 assist, 3 rebounds, PER 10.45. They gave up 2 picks to move up who are both significantly better for Doug McDermott in addition to other pieces that they had to move around as well. It is a swing and a miss by a million miles. And just for the record, just want to get it out there here. And by the way, they could have, in trading up, they could have picked Zach LaVine who has absolutely been...
And exactly what they need, which is athleticism.
Right.
And a major lack of athleticism with the Chicago Bulls.
Right. Zach LaVine, who plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who was picked 13 overall in that same draft. I mean, just crushing it. Going to be an NBA All-Star. So... You know, a lot of people say, well, you got to have stars of the NBA to win, and you got to be so lucky. Well, and the Bulls have had some great picks, none better than with Gar Foreman than Jimmy Butler. But the McDermott is a huge swing and miss, and is absolutely killing them. When you give up multiple picks for a guy, multiple first-round picks for someone who you think is going to be an impact player, and not only is he not an impact player, he's barely a rotational player. It'll kill you, Kevin Powell. It'll absolutely kill you. So I hate to pat myself on the back. It's not even a pat on the back, but I said when they drafted him, just as you said now, that type of game rarely translates to the NBA, and when you try to be smarter than everybody in the room, it doesn't tend to work out. What's up, Pat Costell? Walking by 720 WGN.
Classic Pat.
Comcast Sportsnet. So we see you, Pat. So
game wasn't going to translate, and if he wanted to be a good player in the NBA, he was going to have to settle as a quality shooter. A perimeter guy that can knock down the open three over and over, and he hasn't become that.
It's like It's like looking at a guy like Kevin Powell and saying, you know, KP, I know that you're an expert in food and selection, but we want you to be our maintenance guy or something. Like, it's just...
Yeah, just taking someone out of their element.
Right.
Or like asking me to be a food guy, but only on vegetarian stuff.
Right.
That's more of a better analogy.
Hey, man, you were great at this.
Like, well, you're still good at basketball, but you're only good at parts of it. Like, I'm good at eating and, you know, judging food, but when it comes to the vegetarian/vegan game, my skills are weak.
Right, Doug.
Now, you want me to crush some prime rib, maybe a shrimp cocktail, maybe some baby back ribs. That's all me.
I mean, we're...
Bacon cheeseburger. Talk to me about it.
Right. Doug McDermott, hey, man, we know that you're not a great defender. Hey, man, we know that in college you were pretty effective in the post, but that's probably not going to work in the NBA when you're going up against bigger, stronger, more athletic, long-arm dudes. That doesn't tend to work.
Right. So we need you to be a perimeter shooter guy that can knock down a three type guy.
And you're
in the Doug McDermott realm of things.
And you're a good shooter and all, but you're going to also have a lot less time to get it off.
773 says Mark should have brought Kevin food. A little twist there.
Ooh.
At the Kerry Wood winter warm-up.
How could I do that? I was in the corner doing interviews.
I don't know, but 773's got a valid point, Mark.
I mean, I was there before you. I could have greeted you with a plate. That could have been something that could have happened.
That would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
That would have been nice.
And it didn't really cross my mind.
I figured. So I apologize.
That's okay. I do. I apologize greatly.
I'll get over it.
Hey, coming up after 6:30, we're going to give away Lou Malnati's pizza, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. A Chicago Cub who was at the convention, he had one extremely memorable moment. His name is...
You should say the name because no one's going to think of the moment right away.
Okay. He had one moment. His name is Dave Otto, who you heard on this station back in the day, filling in for Ron Santo. Dave Otto, great man. He had a very memorable moment. 312-981-7200. If you can remember the Otto memorable moment, which had some Harry Carey involvement in it. WGN 634. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. Kevin's going to be on Sports Feed tomorrow night with, is it Jared Payton and Josh?
Yeah, JP's off. It's Friedman and Andy Mazur.
And Andy Mazur on a Sunday night.
Strong duo.
There is no better combo on a Sunday night. All right, opportunity to win something. 312-981-7200. Gift card to Lou Malnati's. It was April 7th. 1994.
Great year.
Wrigley Field. No cheating here.
Great ballpark.
30,000 were in attendance.
That's a lot of people.
Dave Otto.
Strong pitcher. Good broadcaster.
Was a Chicago Cub.
Quality team. Just won the World Series.
It was a memorable moment, Kevin. What happened? 312. Why did Otto...
Can I give away a clue?
If you'd like, sure.
I mean, the phone lines aren't exactly blowing up, Carm.
Yeah, but I believe in our people.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
Although getting through Dan Long is one of the most difficult things to ever do in the history of of radio.
Downtown Danny Long.
312-981-7200. Yes. What hint would you like to give?
I mean, it kind of gives it away. Well,
don't give it away. Our listeners,
they know the answer.
I have faith in our listeners.
Here come the phone calls.
How Dave Otto made history, dubious history. I believe in what's going on. Hello, Matt. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Hello, sir. How are you?
We're great, Matt. How did Dave Otto make history?
He had the most strikeouts of anybody in the league.
Otto did not have the most strikeouts of anyone in the league.
It's a good effort.
But that's a good effort, Matt. We're only talking about one day here. 312-981-7200. Dave Otto was in the bullpen that day. He was a reliever. The Chicago Cubs were playing an exhibition game against the Chicago White Sox.
1994.
It was one of the last exhibition games they would ever play against the Sox. The game ended in a 4-4 tie. Dave Otto, good old number 53, made history. 312-981-7200. The crowd went completely bananas.
Here we go.
Dave Otto was on the mound.
Big moment.
If you look if you look at the lineup, hang on a second. If you look up the lineup from that day, Frank Thomas was out there. Ozzie Guillen was out there.
The big hurt. Ozzie. I heard a funny story about Ozzie today.
Yeah?
I don't think I could tell it on the air. I'll tell you later.
Let's see here. Mike, welcome to 720. How are you, Mike? How did Dave Otto make history?
He yielded a hit to Michael Jordan. I was actually at the game. I'm a longtime avid Cubs fan, and I hate the White Sox. and the whole goddamn memory makes me cringe, but that's what happened.
What kind of hit was it, Mike? How good are you? How well do you remember the moment?
It's a good question. You know what? I was just thinking about that. My memory tells me that it was like a sharp ground ball down the third base line or into left. So I don't remember whether it was a single or a double. I'm going to go with double.
Okay. And was what kind of pitch did he throw? Did he throw a fastball or a curveball?
That I wouldn't know because I was at the game in the upper deck on the third base line, so I couldn't get a good read on the pitch from up there. But since it was Jordan, I'd go fastball. I doubt he hit an off speed pitch.
All right, Mike, hang on. You want to hear this? Dave Otto will describe it for you right here. Dave Otto on his memorable moment with Mike.
All right, I got to rewind. I think it was an April day, Wrigley Field. You're on the hill. 23, Michael Jordan at the dish. I think he somehow bounced a two-hopper down the left field line.
Yes.
Were you trying to let him get a hit, or was it legit?
No, it was legit, and I actually lost $100 in the bullpen because we had a little wager going on who was going to give up the hit to Michael Jordan. If you did give up that, it cost you $100. So I lost $100 in kangaroo court.
But, I mean, it's kind of cool that you gave up a hit to Mike in some way.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, looking back on it, I figured, I guess it is pretty cool. I should have tipped my cap to him, but I did. It was a bad pitch.
Curveball, fastball, don't remember.
It was a fastball, but most of my fastballs went a long way.
So there you go. It was a fastball, Mike.
Yeah, and I guess my memory, I'm getting old, but it doesn't totally betray me because I did remember it was something down the line. So
it was kind of a dribbler, really. But did Jordan have another hit in the game? How good are you?
I'd say no, but I can't. I don't remember for sure.
Okay, he did. He ripped a double off of Chuck Krim.
Oh, did he?
Which scored a run? What final score?
My recollection is that game ended up tied. Am I wrong, or did the White Sox end up winning?
You're actually absolutely correct. It was a 4-4 final, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
No bonus points for that, though. I'm sorry.
No, but you get Lou Malnati's
quality effort by you.
You were phenomenal. Thank you, Mike. Congratulations.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Go Cubs.
Go Cubs, go. There you go. Dave Otto, history. Yes, Dan Long?
Well, no, while I was taking calls, I heard my name being thrown under the bus on the air. I wasn't sure if you wanted a winner right away or if you wanted to blow through a couple wrong answers first.
It was necessarily a thrown under the bus situation. It was more of, I don't know, it seemed like...
We were.
Is there some hostility between you two? You guys need to talk about it on the air.
I don't believe so.
Let's just vent.
None from
Dan,
from Maya.
What do you hate most about Carm? Let's all let it out here on the air.
Dan,
Carm, what do you dislike the most about downtown Danny Long?
Dan, do you agree with my assessment that you are, as call screeners go, you are not just a gateway to the air. You make people earn their way onto this fine program.
Yeah, these are precious airwaves.
That's right.
Like a prove your worth situation. To
That's
get
right.
through.
And so I just said that to get through Dan Long is not easy. You got to bring your A game.
You got to bring the fire.
Do you have any compliments or criticism of Mark Carmen today, Dan?
Carm knows how I feel about him.
Wow. Is that good or bad?
I feel love. I feel respected.
Nothing but respect coming from here.
So, thank you, Dan. Appreciate you.
But if Mike hangs on the line, I will get him a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, home of Chicago's best deep dish, 40-plus Chicagoland location. You guys know it. LouMalnati's.com for more.
Dynamite plug from downtown Danny Long.
Jordan popped out on a 3-0 pitch from Lance Dixon in the second inning. In the third, he was charged with an error when he overran Sean Dunstan's soft hopper to right field.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Taking the MJ right now?
Yeah. Sox manager Gene Lamont, you catch the ball and then look up. He does it in Birmingham once, and his manager will say something. If he does it again, that's how you learn. Gene Lamont firing on MJ.
Wow.
For making the error. Jordan was only following the lead of Sox Gold Glovers Ozzie Guillen and Robin Ventura, who also committed errors that inning. I heard a lot of rookie calls, but I was able to block that out, Mike said. Then came the seventh. Jordan smacked a Chuck Krim delivery down the third base line for a game-tying double.
The air, man.
How about that?
Huge.
There's some great, if you want to do how I live my life, just YouTube that game. Harry Carey does a whole, he interviews Mike, got the highlights of the game. It's a great 10 minutes of your time.
I was actually just Googling the place you're going to dinner tonight. Because anytime Mark Carmen tells me he's going out to eat, I like to Google. I'm a big check out the menu of a restaurant before you go. Like, I'll examine the whole menu. That's why I have a head start on everybody when I get to the table. There's no wasting time. Like, I have a few options in mind. So when Carm lets it slip to where he's going, I immediately go to the website and go to dinner menu.
Yeah, what do you like on there?
Well, we'll do it on the other side of this break. I'll break down an order for Mark Carmen on his on his night off.
All right. I mean, I'm only going for one drink, though. I'm not.
Yeah, but maybe you mix in an appetizer.
Okay, we could throw an appy in there. Right. Also, there's one super serious story that we haven't gotten to today, and that's for real. I want to just address what's going on over at Northwestern this week back. So we'll do them both. 720 WGN. Kevin Powell's analyzing what I should have for dinner. One of his favorite things to do.
It's breaking down this menu.
What do you like?
Phenomenal.
What do you like? What do you like here?
Well, for the appetizers, you got to go shrimp cocktail always, but their grilled calamari, from my extensive research on Yelp and Google Images and whatnot, looks incredible. I'm a big grilled calamari guy. Used to be all fried. Lately, I've been on the grilled calamari train. And this looks good. Got a nice little char on there. So it's a little crispy, but tender enough. Square a little lime or a little lemon on there. You're good to go.
What else you got?
Now, weekend specials, Carm.
Yeah.
Prime rib. We went over this last Saturday.
Not a huge prime rib guy.
Okay, that's soft move by you. Lasagna, though, weekend like special.
Like a lasagna. I love a good lasagna. A little comfort food on a Saturday night.
All right, I'm feeling that as well. So you'll get that
this is kind of a steakhouse, is it not?
It is, but you said you weren't feeling the beef.
Well, not the prime rib. I'd go with
a broiled filet situation, or maybe
they got a porterhouse on there.
Yeah, they got yourself. They got yourself a T-bone on there.
What's the T-bone going?
58.
Oof. I don't know about
and
all that.
Shrimp cocktail and grilled calamari, each $18 appetizers, Carm. So
well, who's picking
that.
This place? What's going on here?
I know where you're going. I'm not going to say where you're going, but you clearly picked it.
I said yes. I did not pick.
Oh, okay. And then for
$18 for a cal?
It's a lot. That's
this,
big.
This one glass of wine I'm going to have is going to be a $16 glass of average wine, isn't it? Not that I would ever know the difference, by the way.
Likely. Sides, you got a lot of good options here. You got thick cut bacon, which seems a bit out of the ordinary for this type of place. So I would maybe lean towards, I'm a big cream spinach guy.
Love cream spinach.
Okay, go cream spinach.
Can you go side as an appetizer? Is that legal?
Yeah.
Is that too awkward? Like if you're having one drink.
Just go appetizer. You want something more reasonable for the appetizer? They got a fried ravioli situation with blue cheese that looks unreal.
Blue cheese as the dipping or the...
I don't know. You'll have to talk to your waitress or waiter about that.
I actually called this place up today. I'm like, do you have a bar? He's like, excuse me, sir. I'm like, I haven't been. I'm coming in for one drink. I need a bar situation.
It's an old school situation.
Yeah.
Didn't you Yelp it? Know your environment.
I
Frank Sinatra ate there, Carm.
Did he really?
According to Yelp, somebody put a photo of him on there.
Okay.
And then dessert. You're going to feel dessert. I'm a big key lime pie guy, but you're not.
I like chocolate.
You're a chocolate guy.
Yeah.
As we've established multiple times here. They do have a nice house specialty of veal cutlet parmesan. You a veal guy?
Don't like what they do with the veal.
Yeah, I know, but it tastes good.
I like my animals to be able to run around before they get their head chopped
off. Well, they got calf's liver with bacon and onion. That'd go over well on a...
It seems a little aggressive.
It's extremely aggressive. Also risky.
What else we got? They got a fried chicken on there?
They've got chicken Greek style. They've got...
How much is the chicken Greek style?
See, chicken, yeah. So chicken Greek style is 27.
Oh, this place is fancy.
Chicken Vesuvio, 28. Chicken Greek style.
In my neighborhood's $8.
I mean, it's not super fancy, the photos I'm looking at. It's just got more of that old school steakhouse vibe to it. You'll like this. I like the look of this place. Can I come with?
Sure. Why not?
That wouldn't be awkward for you at all.
Well, no problem.
I already got my whole dinner planned. I don't know exactly what I'm eating tonight.
I got a post after that. I got a wedding party tonight, KP. They had the wedding in Jamaica.
That's tonight?
Yeah. So we're doing a quick one-time drinky here.
And then you're going to this wedding thing?
Yeah.
That's a good move, because that's a good excuse to get out of your one drinky thing.
Right.
Like, hey, this is serious. This is like a wedding extension party.
Right. Right.
This is like the Cubs winning the World Series and continuing their celebration, next stop Cubs convention.
Right.
This is the wedding celebration continuing an extension Saturday night after Carmen's one drinky thing. Is there going to be food at this wedding thing?
There is, till 10.
Whoa, you better get in and out of there, my friend.
In and out. That's right.
Plus, you could be in trouble, because if you don't get a full meal here and then you show up at the wedding thing and the cutoff already happened... That's devastation city for you, Carl.
It is.
You missed out on both. You missed out on a good meal from this place, and you missed out on the free meal from the wedding thing.
I'm going to make sure that I don't miss out on the free meal at the wedding thing. 7 to 10, I already called the wedding people ahead and said, hey, I'm probably going to get there around 9. What's the situation with the food? Is that rude? I don't know if it is or isn't.
Right.
But I got the details. 7 to 10, food.
Like a buffet situation?
Buffet situation.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Italian sausage?
I don't know what's going on food-wise. I didn't ask. Well, but I know there's going to be
food. First question.
The Peter Rouser.
You could go a quick spaghetti and meatball.
Ooh, that's tempting.
Yeah, it looked really good, too, based off their Yelp photos.
See, sometimes you don't have to. See, getting creative with an order, sometimes you just don't do it. Just get a spaghetti and meatball.
You know what? I think you go a little classy, Carm. You go, let's just get a shrimp cocktail and a drink apiece, call it a day. Because you can house the cocktail in like 5 minutes. I mean, there's normally like 5 shrimp on it.
Yeah, but it's so unfulfilling. Like, I got to go double shrimp cocktail.
That's true. Maybe the grilled calamari will be a little bit more satisfying. A little more flavor there.
Have we covered this fully? Do you feel satisfied? What would Kevin Powell's order be?
Oh, you want to know my order?
Yeah. Look, can't do this on radio, but the way the smile just lights up.
Okay, well, I would go shrimp cocktail.
Papa Powell's paying, by the way. You don't have to.
All right, perfect.
Yeah.
Pops, we're going shrimp cocktail / grilled calamari, both.
Okay.
And then since it's the weekend, they have a weekend special. Prime rib of beef, folks. Going prime rib here.
How are you having that cook, Kevin?
Medium rare, closer to rare, though.
Medium rare, closer to rare, so the cows... So you're still mooing on the plate. It's gross.
Hey, that's amazing. That's how it's supposed to be.
Horseradish dipping sauce on that prime rib?
Absolutely.
Okay, and then what happens?
Now we've got our cream spinach situation.
Okay.
They've got a broiled mushroom situation going on. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling mushrooms right now.
Uh-huh.
So I may go cream spinach and broiled mushrooms.
And then what happens?
And then for dessert, we'll polish it off with a key lime pie. Maybe get myself... See, this seems like a place with a good old-fashioned. I'd get myself an old-fashioned here, Carm.
How many old-fashions till you're out of there? Are you a one old-fashioned, two old-fashioned?
I'm thinking maybe start during the appetizers, do an old-fashioned, and then maybe this seems like a place that would have a Schlitz beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably go Schlitz beer on tap for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see how we're feeling after.
Okay.
Maybe mix in one more old-fashioned for dessert to cap it all off.
That's it's a great job by you.
That's my order.
It's truly a great job.
And they have
job.
A soup of the day, too. I wonder what that is. Maybe a minestrone type thing.
Will you go cream soup?
It's risky. Depends on what I'm ordering. Since I'm getting the prime rib of beef because it's their weekend special, I may steer clear of that. Plus, I'm already getting the cream spinach. If I got the cream soup, I'd probably get the sauteed spinach instead of cream spinach for dinner.
Text line 262. I'm too old for you guys. Otherwise, I want to marry you. Marry us both? Combo marriage? How old are you? Because at this point, I mean, I'm willing to make accommodations. Text that on in, please. I have a wide range of women that I'm attracted to, let's be honest. Okay.
Carm's not judgy. They got a great pasta selection too. I can't figure out if this is like an Italian or a Greek box. They have Greek chicken, but it's got a lot of Italian vibes to it as well.
I think it's Greek, judging by the way I was talked to on the phone today when I asked if it was the bar. I was so straightforward and disappointed. What? Yes, there's a bar. Pretty sure the dude was Greek. The Greeks do absolutely phenomenal work in the restaurant business. I worked for one out at Meyer's Tavern. Gus, don't mess with him. One of the best.
Meyer's Tavern?
One of the best.
On Lake?
Yep.
I've never been, but I pass it all the time. It's like 10 minutes from my house.
Are you serious?
15 minutes from my house. Yeah.
Hold on a second.
If I take the Edens home, because sometimes I take 90 to 294, sometimes I jump on the Edens.
Do you like the tater tot?
I'm a big tater tot guy.
You got to go in there. I'm not kidding. That's a must-stop cheeseburger tater tot. Comes with 10 tots. Always count them out.
Right, like Kitty Corner, Loyola High School.
Yeah. Have a dab. You're good. All right. Hey, Amy Guth is next, and we'll have one little heartfelt moment as well. 720 WGN. Saturday Night Radio special with Amy Guth coming right up. I just want to give condolences quickly to the family of Jordan Hankins, who was a sophomore at Northwestern and passed away this week. And Northwestern is putting a patch on their uniforms for the rest of the season. The Cats actually won a basketball game today. Both the men's and women's side are wearing the patch. And there was a very, very compelling article written by Callie Ryan, who goes to Northwestern, talking about the pressures of going to a school with such high performers like Northwestern, and school and athletics and winning and losing, and talking about it's okay to not be okay. It's really a very powerful piece, and so just a tough week at Northwestern, to say the least, and even tougher for the Hankins family, sophomore playing basketball, and passing away earlier in the week. So I put out the article at my Twitter, at the Carm. This is I'm not trying to promote my Twitter at this moment, but if you can't find it, it's in the Daily Northwestern. Callie Ryan, C-A-L-E-I-G-H, Ryan, writing about one of her classmates.